Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. We are here tonight. Wow, we weren't here last night or Monday night. What happened? I guess I needed a vacation. I don't know. But that's kind of the way it worked out, so pretty cool. All right, we're here. Yeah, I took vacation last night whether I wanted it or not, right? I did. I really did. But we got it. It was awesome. I kind of looked at it like that, like, God's trying to tell me something. Take a little break. So we did. And as you know, we've never taken a vacation, I don't think, since we've been on talk that I can recall. Now, I know we haven't, but so maybe once in a while that might happen. I don't know, but it wasn't done by my choice. So I thought it was pretty cool, though, and good how God does stuff even without your permission and says you need to take a break. So, okay, whatever you say. All right, so we did that, and good to be with you tonight. We are so glad. I'm doing really, really good, and, you know, just doing great, really. I look forward to being with you tonight, ministering to people and sharing with everybody what God puts on my heart, and hope to share it to open up your eyes to some things. And, you know, there's just so much to talk about, as you guys know, so much. And we're going to try to talk about them as much as we can. Yeah. All right, and open up and try to open up your understanding of what the way I see things, what God's showing me. And, yeah, so that's really, really cool. And we like it, that's for sure. So if you like it and we like it, everybody likes it, we all like it, so it's all good. All right, so good to be here tonight, and hopefully you're all doing pretty good. You know, we are talking a little bit about mysteries that have been hidden since the foundation of the earth, you know, maybe sometimes seemingly out of context, you know, not perfectly mixed up with the scripture, but just kind of prophesying the mystery realm, right? We're going to see mysteries, things that are just have been hidden. What you see, they're easy to see, but, you know, sometimes God just, you know, hides things for reasons. And there's a time and a season for us to see things. And so I think that we're in the seeing place. It's amazing that, you know, I mean, we're going to be used by God to help people see things that they haven't seen before, understand things that they haven't understood before. And open up the eyes of the blind to things that we all been blind to, things I've been blind to, things that you've been blind to, things that we all been blind to. Who'd ever thought we'd have Joe Biden as a president of the United States? I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody thought we'd have Trump, right? And nobody thought we'd be doing this. But we are, and it's happening, whether everybody likes it or not. That's the crazy thing about it. So because nobody likes it, whether anybody likes it or not, what does that mean? It's a mystery. We shall behold it. And so we do our best to unfold that mystery as best God gives it to us. So if you can be patient and wait and listen as much as you can, as often as you can. I do repeat things a lot for a reason, because I know we have a lot of people that come and go. And so we repeat important information, sometimes kind of frequently. For that very purpose, so that people can, those who listen to it, that's regular, go get it really good. And those who see us off and on, they'll be able to catch it as they come and go and get some of the information that's important. So where are we? Like God told Adam and Eve, where art thou? Do you ever wonder what God's saying? Where are you? Yeah, where are you? Where are you? Where are you at? Are you hiding? Are you coming out of hiding? You know, are you being bold, getting bolder and bolder, getting rid of fear? What are you doing? whatever it is, it's a process, and you're going to do it little by little. Sometimes it takes a little longer time than what we want, of course, or it always does with me. I always want it tomorrow, for sure. So, but we don't get it tomorrow, but we are going to get it soon, and very soon, I believe, but sooner than we think. But, you know, I'm starting to understand why Jesus said of the Father that no one knows the day or the hour. And why? I mean, I kind of, you know, we've heard it all of our lives. I've just kind of like come to a new conclusion on some of it. Why he doesn't want us to know the day or the hour. You know, if we knew the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord and we knew for sure, we'd stop doing everything, quit living our everyday lives. And we would just, I don't know everybody, what everybody would do, but a lot of people would just, you know, stop everything they're doing because they probably think what they're doing is not God. They're going to stop it all. Who could blame them? If you know the day and the hour, you know, you can pinpoint that so you can start going, well, you know, what good is my life going to be doing me to live my life out because he's coming, you know, 3 weeks from now or, you know, a year from now or whatever, a few months from now. What good is my life going to do? I have a job, I have a business, I've been wanting to get, you know, a promotion and want to make more money to pay, help pay my family, help my family and, you know, do give to the poor and the needy and help ministries and do that kind of thing. And if he's coming next month, you know, on the 31st of next month or the 5th of next month or whatever day it is, or, you know, then you're going to be stopping everything. Well, that's not what God wants to do. He wants us to keep on eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and looking for him. You know, not stop everything, but looking for him. With one hand, we have our hand doing about our daily business. You know, marrying, giving in marriage. God's not against marriage. Marriage is not a sin. Getting in marriage, having babies, that's what he wants. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. So if we knew that he was coming back, it depends on what you believe about that. Everybody's going to stop what they're doing, stop having children. They're going to just wait for the Lord. And, you know, I don't want to be pregnant and be given birth when he shows up. I want to. So they kind of stop everything. And so that's why God doesn't want us to know the day of the hour. I'm starting to see that more and more all the time because we've been asked questions like that. I think Jeannie came on the show one night. She said, well, what if we knew, you know, if the Lord's going to show up, you know, next month or next year or whatever? Wouldn't we just stop everything and just, you know, I mean, what would we do? It, really, really good question, I thought. And so I think it's a common question most people ask. So what would we be doing? Well, it depends on how close you are to the Lord. Some people will stop doing what they do immediately, you know, and repent and get right with God because he's coming back in, you know, next month. And so I got to start turning around. I got to start doing some good things. So they stop their job. They stop doing their business. They stop doing whatever they're doing. You know, and they just stop everything and start praying, and the whole world would stop, or most of it would stop, or a lot of it would stop, right? That's not what God wants. He wants the world to just keep going on, and to those to keep preaching the gospel, keep trying to bring people to Christ, so that because when he comes, eventually that, you know, the saints are going to come back with him, and we're going to be caught up with him to meet him in the air, and then come back down with him and rule on the earth. So we're not going to be gone that long if we're here when he comes, right? So what are you thinking? Well, you want to be taking care of your house anymore, mowing your yard, taking care of things? Mow your yard into the Lord. Keep your house up in, with Jesus walking with you in your heart, right? If we really are walking with him today, the best we know how, he's with us. You feel him sometimes. You sense him. You know he's there. Inside you, with you, around you, guiding you, leading you. You know, you don't have to stop everything and go, unless you know everything you're doing is not God, then you're going to stop everything, right? But really what God wants to do is he wants us to keep doing our everyday life and serve Jesus everywhere we go, everything we do, and serve him and multiply and increase in everything we do unto the Lord. In other words, what we do at work, we do it as unto Jesus. It doesn't mean we stand up on the tabletops and start preaching to 300 people in the area where we work, you know. I mean, you know, if God really tells you to do that, I've done similar stuff to that. I have, honest to God, very similar stuff to that. But, you know, but it wasn't because the Lord was coming back soon. It was because I felt compelled to do it. Different ways to evangelize. So how are you going to, if you know he's going to come back next month, man, what are you going to do? Some people are just going to say, well, you know, he's with me every day. I've been talking to him every day. When he comes back, I'll be talking to him in the flesh, you know, and we'll be having the marriage of the Lamb and all that. We come back to the earth. It's like, you know, now he's physically here, but he was here with me in spirit the whole time. In fact, when he's physically going to be in Jerusalem, he's going to be with me in spirit, because we're all going to have the same Holy Spirit, right? We're all going to be brothers and sisters. He's going to be the Lord. And we're going to be living our life. You know, we're not going to just stop everything and go down and worship Jesus 24 hours a day. We're going to be going about our everyday lives. In Jesus, with Jesus ruling, watching over things, making sure things are done right. It's going to be awesome, man. So why should we change everything we're doing if we know God's going to come back? Jesus is coming back next month. I mean, that's why we don't really know the day or the hour, because, you know, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to keep living our lives, living with him, talking with him, praying with him, believing with him, talking to people when he tells us to talk to them, not talk to people when he tells us not to talk to them. Be a silent witness sometime, in the sense that we do what we do. We live what we say. We say a little, live a lot. Say a little, live a lot, right? And when you're doing that every day, and you're just serving God, and you know he wants to have babies, right? So marriage and giving in marriage, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So we having babies. So what if that baby's 5 years, you know, a month old, 3 months old, 5 months old, 5 years old when he comes back, you know? So what's the big deal with that? He's not going to go, oh, get away from me, you little children. He's going to say, come unto me, you little kids. I like you. He likes little kids. He likes children. So we got to get our eyes on the right things. Now we are going to go through a time of birthing and a time of, you know, trouble like we've never seen before, but we're also going to go through a time where we're going to be, watch God protect us, watch God, you know, move upon us and help us in so many different ways. It's going to be unbelievable for you to watch how God's going to help us. When you read the book, we're going to go through the book of Revelation here pretty soon, not the whole book, but we're going to pick out all the parts that are really awesome and good and bring up those parts so we can get people started wanting to listen to it and read it and watch it and see what's going on with it so they're not afraid of it. We've been given the wrong image of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus, friends. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. Now, because we got the revelation of Jesus, the Antichrist is in there because that's part of his coming. He's going to come back and he's going to slay him. It's going to be awesome. Right? So the book of Revelation is so misunderstood. I mean, it's just all we've heard these pre-tribulation preachers talk about, and excuse me for saying that about it, but I mean every bit of it with all my heart. all the negative things they said about, oh, the book of Revelation, you know, you're going to, you know, get your head cut off and all that kind of thing, and you're going to starve to death. And so they've just filled people with lies, half-truths, and projecting those half-truths, placing people in the place of heathen in the book of Revelation instead of the Christians in the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation said these plagues come upon those who have the mark, right? These judgments come upon those who are not born again. Now, there's martyrs and there's that kind of thing. But you see, so we just keep living our life every day. It's going to accelerate. We're going to watch it accelerate because we all have TVs and phones. But guess what, friend? We're also going to watch the glory of God accelerate, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time going through the book of Revelation and all the good things and all explaining that all these bad things they're talking about, read the rest of the story. It's talking about the heathen. It's going to come on them. Are some of the saints going to be overtaken at times? Yes, at times. But when you really read the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapter 7 has become one of my favorite chapters lately, he says, who are these multitude of people that you can't even number them? These are people who had washed their robes in the blood of Jesus, not in their blood, but in the blood of Jesus. They cleansed themselves. That's what we do every Thursday here. We cleanse our robes in the blood of Jesus. Every time I mess up or something, every time I take communion, and I'm coming before God, I'm cleansing my garments in the blood of Jesus. I don't know what you're doing. I'm not sure exactly what you think you're doing, but that's what I'm doing. That has nothing to do with martyrdom. It has to do with there were so many of them that they couldn't even count them, and they came through the Great Tribulation. They came through it. successfully. Now, successfully meant some of them might have died, but it's not like the whole group died, right? So we get it. We're going to start pointing out those things. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm pointing out some things in Revelation 7 that talk about the good things and the good people and the things that are happening in the middle of the tribulation that God's people are, there's so many of them you can't even number them, and they're victorious. The one in the wilderness. How many people are going to be in that crew, that little bunch? Maybe a few million? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to take care of them? We are. We are going to take care of them. Thus saith the Lord. We're going to help take care of them. Right? Who's going to help people feed them, take care of them, and evangelize them to keep them from getting the mark during that time? We are. We are going to help them. So they won't take the mark, and they'll come to Christ. We're going to do that, friend. We're going to evangelize. And I'm going to go through all this in the book of Revelation and pick out the good things, the things that are awesome, and what the bad things are doing and who the bad things are happening to. And usually it's to the people that says that have taken the mark from among them, my people, in Revelation 18. It said, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Where are we going to go when we come out from among them? It's not having nothing to do with the rapture. This is long coming to the great tribulation. Come out from among them. What are we going to do for food? Texas, my son. Hopefully Florida and other places around the globe. They're going to be there. We're going to be feeding people, nurturing people, helping people. This is reality of the Bible. So we're going to talk about this more and more and more all the time. And wow, what am I doing? I don't even know. I'm just kind of hopping around here. But this is something God's been speaking to me to do. He's been wanting me to, to talk about this. Here's one scripture in the book of Luke, the 21. I want you to listen to this. This kind of sounds contradictive a little bit, but when you listen to it, it's amazing. He says, Luke 21, verse 16, he says, and you will be handed over, even by parents, talking about us. In other words, parents are going to hand over their children, brothers and relatives and friends, and they will cause some of you to be put to death. Some of you. Right? Oh, they all shall die. Oh, it's not going to be good for you. The whole earth is going to die. That's what they say. All right, but we're going to say what the Bible says. And they will cause some. I'm not going to leave that part out. They're going to cause some of you to be put to death. Some of you. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake. And not, now going from verse by verse, verse 16, 17. Verse 17 says, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. The next verse says, and not a hair on your head will perish. And not a hair on your head is going to perish. That's Luke 21, verse 18. What's verse 19 say? It's really awesome. I think you're going to like it. By your endurance, you will win your lives. By your endurance, you will win your lives. This is talking about at a time where our parents are turning to children are turning to parents, brothers and sisters are coming against each other, you'll be hated. 17, for my name's sake, and not a hair on your head will perish, it says. It's kind of like out of the blue. Oh, yeah, some of you are going to be, they will cause some of you to be put to death. Some, not the whole globe. Not the whole Christian world. Oh. That's verse 16 of Luke chapter 21. They will cause some of you to be put to death. Let's just go ahead and read it, like the book of Acts. But the book of Acts is going to be like a little bit. It's a little. It's going to have some people are going to be put to death. Yeah. Some. Not all. Not most. Some. Next verse says, and you will be hated. This is a really rough time by all men. Oh, all men hate all men. If most people read that and they say, oh, you will be hated by all men. And they make it look like you're going to be even hated by your own brothers in Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. He, you know, you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. What about the brothers? They're going to love one another. They're going to take up for one another. They're going to protect one another. So when it says you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake, that doesn't mean literally every person in the world but you. They're going to hate you, every man. People are going to hate us. They should already be hating us. But they don't yet, but they will. Starting to happen. They will. You will be hated. You will be hated by all men. A man of what? What men? The evil men, the men who are going to be taking the mark. Those men, you will be hated by all men. All men, what all men? You just got a few of us and the rest of the whole globe is Antichrist? No, he's just saying you're going to be hated by all men that are in the world. In other words, the people that don't know Jesus, they're going to hate you for his name's sake. There's a lot of people that claim his name in the Great Tribulation. So many of them, you can't even number them, that have washed their robes in the blood of Jesus. They've kept themselves clean and right. So many of them, you can't even number them. That's in the middle of the Great Tribulation, the Bible says. And not a hair on your head will perish. Woo! Next verse. By your endurance, you will win your lives. Oh, I love it. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that the desolation is at hand. Well, this is the end time stuff, man. I'm reading you end time stuff, and he's saying here, some of you will be put to death by your friends and your relatives who don't know Jesus, by the way. You'll be hated by all men, by all evil men, for my name's sake. And not a hair on your head will perish. I love where he just kind of mixes it up. Yes, some of you will be put to death. You're going to be hated by all men, but not a hair on your head will perish. I mean, this is Jesus talking here, y'all. This isn't some pre-tribulation rapture preacher. They don't preach on this stuff. The whole truth about it, they come up, you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake as they're cutting your heads off, every one of you. And they don't read the verse above. Yeah, some of your friends are going to be turning you in, and you will. Some of you will be put to death. That's true. Some. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will win your lives. So what are we going to have to do? Learn to endure. Endure where you're at now. Learn to endure. Learn to deal with things. Learn to walk in to your situations in Christ Jesus, not trying to get out of everything, but endurance is enduring through it, coming through it on the other side. Having, as you come through something, you wash your robes in the blood. You keep yourself clean. This nasty thing here comes up, you wash it. Another nasty thing comes up 3 months later, you wash it and you cleanse it. Another thing, another nasty attitude, another gossiping thing comes up and you wash it and you cleanse it. You get rid of all that stuff. By your endurance, you got to endure. You will win your lives. This doesn't sound like to me everybody's being killed. If you're enduring, that means that you're hanging in there. Or doing more than hanging in there, really. You're overcoming. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that its desolation is at hand. And brother, is that ever true? Is that starting to happen? Of course, it already is happening. It's already happened. It's just a matter of acceleration. One or two things accelerating it. Amen? Am I encouraging anybody tonight? Anybody listening? Anybody on the side of the Bible? I hope so. I think you are. Friend, get ready. That was the book of Luke right there. I didn't really know if you could do that or not. But get ready, because we're going to go into the whole book of Revelation talking about those things and just talking about, just reading it, not leaving things out that talk about the good things in the Great Tribulation. They don't want anybody to think anything good's going to happen. Oh, you're going to get your head cut off and you're going to starve to death because you're going to take the mark of the beast. But they don't know when he says come out from among them, come out from those, because here's the scripture I was going to use earlier, what I was going to say about that scripture earlier, Revelation 18, it says come out from among them lest you partake of her plagues. In other words, you come out from among the evil people, because the evil people, the ones who serve the devil, come out from among them, lest you partake of their plagues. So who's getting plagued? The Christians? No, because we come out from among them and get our system going, where Texas and other countries and world are all around the globe. We have people all around the globe, too. Don't forget that. Don't let them blind you. Oh, the Antichrist is going to be all over the globe. Well, yeah, it's exactly true. And so are Christians. All over the globe, we're going to have Christians all over the globe, everywhere. So many of them that you can't even number them, from every nation, tongue, and tribe. Revelation 7. We're going to talk about the things that are real and good and truthful. Are we going to leave out the part where it says, and some of them will be put to death? No, we're going to read the whole thing. Right? We're not going to leave that part out. We want to prepare you. I want you to be prepared and ready, not hiding in a corner, hoping you make it until Jesus comes to get you. I hope I make it. The Antichrist doesn't get a hold of me. Well, some are going to be handed over, not by the Antichrist, but by your own family. Yeah, they're going to hand you over. Now, some will be put to death and some won't. You know, you're going to be hated. You will be hated. He was talking to the believers. You believers will be hated by all men. When you look at that, it says by all men. Most people looking at, oh, you're ready, says all men. In other words, all the men are going to be hating us and trying to kill us. That's not what he means. He's talking to you, you Christians around the globe. You will be hated by all the men that are evil for my name's sake. And not a hair on your head will perish. I like the next verse. You're going to be hated, but guess what? Not a hair on your head will perish. Woo! Hallelujah, man. Don't y'all just love the word? I love the word. I don't like these people that hyperventilate over things and, oh, God, they leave out the good stuff for us, and all they talk about is the bad stuff. And they act like the bad stuff's going to happen to you if you're here, because they don't want you to believe you're going to be here. So they try to lie to you and tell you all the bad stuff. So you want to get, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to be here for that, man. Oh, God. And they do really good. They're great actors, man. So I think they really believe it's the sad part. And so I'm going to talk about it off and on a lot because it's such a big thing and it's about to increase. As we come closer to having the red heifers in a year and a half or so and have the ashes and they start building the temple and we're right in the middle of all that, y'all are going to be going like, oh, yeah, that's right. Randy told us about this because the Lord showed him and he's showing us and he's telling us what's really going on. And I will be going, yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That is exactly correct. God delivered us from fears. And the lies of men. What are the greatest? If I was an enemy, I would use the men who were the greatest, most wonderful people, had a great family. You know, the mafia are big family people. Did y'all know that? But they'd kill you in a heartbeat if you don't go along with them. They are big family. Oh, you touched my brother, you touched my sister, and my mama, and my papa. You touched them. I will kill you. I will string you up, and I will cut every limb from your body. But I love my mom, my brother, and my sister, and all my brothers that work with me in the mafia. Well, they have great love. It's great family people. They would fit right into our gospel today, the great family people. People you'd look up to family-wise until you find out behind closed doors what they are, is murderers, liars, and thieves, and trying to take over the world. And run the world. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to be come across like, I love my mama, and I take care of my brother. And anybody don't believe like we believe, you get in our way, you don't bow down, we're going to cut your head off. They're not going to be doing that much as they make it sound like. They're threatening you. They're threatening me. And some preachers help the threat, man. Sad. But he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Yeah, touched me and made me whole. You know what, friend? God, Jesus is going to touch you. He's going to make you whole. I love it when, it was in Luke 8:45, I think, it says Jesus said, the people were just surrounding him. He was in a multitude. The multitude was thronging him and all over him and pressing on him and pushing him, and the disciples were trying to protect him. People are grabbing at him constantly, and he turns around in the middle of this like a nut bag. You would think, did anybody say, who touched me? And what about, 500 people just touched you in the last 15 minutes? You're saying, who touched me? Like, Jesus, have you lost your mind? They're everywhere. Master, the multitude's strong and press you. And you say, who touched me? Wow. Somebody touched me. For I perceive power going out from me. Woo, friend, this is us. This is the ones who they're going to hate. This is the ones they're going to hate who not only have the power, but know how to touch Jesus. And whom Jesus says, you touch me. Oh, you touch me. And now I want you to say who you are, a woman in your rag. Something happened as the crowd and I were going down the road. Somebody touched me, and I felt it leave my body. Oh, who touched me? Who touched me? And this woman says, it was me. I did it. Friend, that's the people they're going to hate. When she noticed that she was not going to be hidden anymore, she tried to hide because she was going to get thrown in jail or fined. Then the woman seen that she could not go unnoticed. Yeah, because Jesus, she had a strategy, y'all. We're talking about people that they're going to hate. These are the people I'm talking about. These are the people that are going to be reaching out and touching Jesus. And Jesus is going to go, you touch me. Oh, you touch me. And power has come out of my very being. And the woman goes, seeing that I can't be unnoticed, I come trembling at your feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she was instantly healed. She was instantly healed. Your power came out this very hour. Something told me if I could touch thee, that I would be every whit whole. And Jesus says to her very personally, daughter. Can you imagine Jesus calling you daughter? Being a woman, could you imagine that? Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. No, nobody going to touch you. Yeah, you broke the law. But when you touch me, the law is fulfilled. He touched me. Oh, I touched him. He touched me. She touched me. Jesus is going to be singing that song. He's going to be the choir leader. He's going to be singing, she touched me. Oh, she touched me. And all the Jewish leadership that hated Jesus hated him for that. Oh, how can you be doing that stuff? You're causing trouble. We hate you. Why? Because why are they going to hate us so bad? Because these kind of things are going on. Jesus is going, we're going to be touching Jesus, and power is going to be drawn out of us, out of him. And we're going to be touched by others, and the power of God is going to be drawn out of you. And you're going to be going, who touched me? Just like Jesus said to the woman, who touched me? The power has gone out of my my body. Someone touched me, and now I want to know who was it. Quit hiding. You've been caught. You've been caught, man. Oh, and what do you do when he called? He said, daughter, your faith. These are the people, these are the people that when that scripture we read earlier, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. Why? Because of this, man. Because of this. We're going to touch him. And he's going to go, woo, wow, what was that? Who touched me? And they're all going to say, Lord, the whole world's thronging after you. What do you mean? Who's touched you? It's just like a prayer being prayed. You know, millions of people are praying, but those who know how to pray in faith, those who know how to touch Jesus, not pray a perfect prayer, but touch him because you see him, you know him, and you're drawn to him. Hallelujah. Something happened, and now the whole world's going to find out that he lives inside of me. So come and get some of this. Oh, world, come and get some of this and touch the Lamb of God that lives in me. Yeah, the woman saw that she couldn't hide. She came trembling. Can't hide anymore. No, because you know what? In your desperation, your faith is going to reach out and touch him. And he's gonna turn around and say, who was that? And they're all going like, what? Who is? Why? Huh? He said, you don't understand. No. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. And it was this woman. Couldn't hide anymore. She came trembling, falling down. I've been busted. I don't know what he's going to do. But she felt falling down before him. She declared him to him before all the people. That's what we're going to do. We're going to declare before all the people for what cause we touched him. Because, friend, we need him. Without him, we can't make it. We're not going to make it. We need his touch tonight. Reach out and touch him tonight in the name of Jesus. Reach out and touch him. These people are going to be praying, but those few who are going to know how, out of desperation, not because we don't have everything we want, but because we need him, we want him. Hallelujah. She declared to him before all the people were called, she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. I command your body to be healed immediately. I command your soul, friend, to be healed and touched. He touched him tonight. We're touching him tonight. And he's saying, who touched me? Jesus is saying this. Not me. Who touched me? And now you're immediately healed and made whole. Somebody touched me, and now I know faith in the house. Someone's being made whole. Just reach out and touch him. Oh, reach out and touch him. And watch yourself become immediately healed and made whole. Oh, something is happening. And now we know touches us every day. He touches us in every way. He touches us and he makes me whole. Oh, Lord, I feel the anointing. Makali kurloto shiki chichi. Jesus said, my daughter, my son. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Your faith in what? In Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's not in healing. We don't have faith in healing. We have faith in Jesus. Somebody touch him. It's about touching him. It's not about praying all the perfect prayers. It's about finding some way, whatever you got to say to touch him, my God. be made whole. I command those cataracts to come off your eyes right now in the name of Jesus. I command every skin disease to fall off your body right now in Jesus' name. I command every kidney and every organ, even somebody have a transplant or getting a transplant or something, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, he touched me. Somebody touched me, saith the Lord. So we're turning this song around tonight in case you didn't notice that. And it's Jesus saying it. That's Jesus' song, man. Oh, he touched me, and he was made every whit whole. Something happened, and now I know I touched him and been made every whit whole. Going to be made whole, friend? Going to get rid of that emotional anxiety, that stress, that fear factor going in your life? In Jesus' name, I command that to go out of you. I command that to be cleansed. I command those devils to leave your brain, to leave your mind, to leave your blood. In Jesus' name, I command your blood to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Cleanse and wash your garments tonight in the blood of Jesus. Wash your garments tonight in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! You want to go through the great tribulation and victory? Learn to wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my God. Wash them. Wash the garments of your body. Wash the garments of your soul. Wash the garments of your emotions. Every garment, everything that's filthy and nasty that's just been like this woman who had an issue of blood, it just made her smell bad. I mean, like your soul has just been bleeding, and Jesus said, reach out and touch me. Hallelujah. And be made whole, my God. Oh, Jesus loves you. This I know, for he's telling me so, and I'm telling you. Oh, who touched me? Oh, who touched me? And now you're made every whit whole. Something just happened. Yes, it did. And now I know you're whole, every whit whole. I hope you're receiving that tonight, friend. I hope you're receiving that tonight. That's the love of Jesus just for you, your baby dolls, your Jesus baby dolls. And I mean that in the most holy, wonderful way. Here's little baby dolls. That's me. That's you. Or his daughter, his son. Amen. You're his precious offspring. The Bible says that we are the offspring of God. I'm going to get into that sometime soon. We are the offspring of God Almighty. Hallelujah. The seed of God has been planted in the womb of your soul, and you have been birthed, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. He touched me. Oh, she touched me. And the blood came pouring into your soul. Woo! All right, man. I think I'm ready to pray now. I think I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to pray, and say whatever God says. Something happened. This is Jesus saying this. Y'all have to understand. I'm prophesying to you the word of the Lord. She touched me. Oh, she touched me. And now you're going to be made glad every day. Something is happening. And now, right now, you know. He's made you whole. I've made you whole, saith the Lord. Oh, I'm touching you. I want to touch you every day. Right, when we touch him, that touch is what, it's when you reach out and touch him that the touch touches you. A lot of people were touching Jesus, but the Spirit of God didn't reach out and touch them because they weren't touching him by faith. They weren't touching Jesus the right way. But when that woman, touched him the right way, the touch came immediately. It was an immediate touch. Immediately. Somebody's being healed immediately right now in the name of Jesus. You are immediately being made whole. Aquate ma vuta le clele shinguato ma fute awa. Oh, he touched me. All right, let's take callers tonight. I just love this stuff, man. I've been missing y'all. I took off Monday and then Tuesday. The circumstances, you know, I took another day off without even wanting one. God says, I have about 2 days off. I'm like, no, please. Lord goes, yes. So that's what goes on. The love of Jesus, he'll help you even though you don't want it. Even though you think you don't need it. Yeah, he's awesome. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you. We're going to speak by the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of Jesus over you. It's the Spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Kaleboha. Tikocho kanamaba. All right, let's take our first caller, 662-806. Tonight, where are you from, please? 662. All right, hang on a second. Obviously, it's not working right yet. There we go. 662, are you there?
Yes, this is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right, Cynthia, good to have you tonight. All right, Cynthia, thank you, Lord, for Cynthia tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for that. I just see, like, God touching your womb. I don't know why. I know you're not going to have any more children, but I don't get you. It's like I see something coming alive inside your womb or something. It's like something being washed, something being cleansed, something being blessed, something being released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Maybe a spiritual thing. I'm not sure what that is. But I thank you, Lord, something deep within the birthing part of you. Something in the part of you that receives the seed of Jesus. He's healing that portion of your womb, the part of you that receives the seed. You will be able to not drop the fruit early, but you will carry the fruit all the way to full fruition in Jesus' name. How they no longer carry the fruit for a while and then it falls off and spoils. No, carrying the fruit. The fruit. God's chicka 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 mahe mande atokobota ushe. Carry it in Jesus' name. You're going to be able to carry the fruit until it's time to birth it. Makufa name seven, losing it before it's season. Shingora kungara mahaha. I see you weeping in the spirit. Get my heart, will shed up a roho. Pokapa mahare, go si chi chi ki chingumba. Hele. Hallelujah. All right, Angie says, today, 2013, January 18th, 9:30, my brain stopped screaming, pain left, happy anniversary. I seem to remember something about that. God touched you. Woo! Hallelujah. You touched him. Oh, you touched him. I remember that little touch. I remember we watched you get it from Jesus. I remember watching you get that. Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad you sent that. That's been an anniversary today. January the 18th, 9:30 a.m. or p.m.? A.m.? My brain stopped screaming because she was having some problems with her pain. With her pain, with her brain, having pain brain, brain pain. Pain in the brain and brain pain. Left. Happy anniversary. I remember that. In the p.m. Okay, 9:30 p.m. Okay. What day was that today? What was it, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What day was that? Stuck on the weekend. Well, wasn't it like on a Sunday or something? And then Monday you called into the show, something like that? All right, I'm going to get you on. Tell me about that real quick. Okay. Hang on a second. It's not coming. All right, there you are. All right, tell us about that.
Hi, Randy. Hi, Randy. You want
hey.
Me to tell you my story on my bad brain moment?
Yeah. We don't usually talk on Wednesdays. I mean, Wednesdays. So, yeah, if you could make it kind of short and sweet, that would be awesome.
I can do that. I had overdrawn my checking account. I was in real bad trouble. I had to have my brain back, and I just couldn't figure out how in the world, you know, I knew I didn't withdraw $2,500 and pay my electric bill. And I thought they took it, or my bank gave it to them. I didn't know what happened, but my dog ended up walking across the computer because God showed it to me after he healed my brain. But while my brain was screaming and carrying on, I didn't know. But in 2008, on January the 4th at 1:30 in the afternoon, I was going across the James River Bridge. I was flipped over. I had a head-on impact. I was flipped over on the James River Bridge on 95. I rode it about 70 feet, hit the pole, rolled three times, bounced, had 13 impacts on my car. The policeman said he'd never seen anybody survive 13 impacts and get out alive, much less walk. 13 impacts, yes. There was not a place that wasn't. And so anyway, after that incident, went to several doctors, tried to get assistance, you know, and had injections put in my brain and kept saying that there was something wrong with how I can see, but I couldn't explain why I couldn't see on, you know, partial, you know, but I didn't realize that it was just partial. It was my peripheral vision. I had the full clarity after God touched me, but while I was in the mist, I couldn't explain it. And so they gave me a lot of injections in my back and my spine and all of that kind of thing to try to help me with the pain. But from that day, January the 4th to January the 18th, from 2008 to 2013, my brain screamed every day and I had pain. It wasn't a matter if I was going to have pain, it's what level. And I would have massive, you know, like, it was somebody with ADD on steroids. It would be like I would have five conversations going on in my head at one time, and it was hard for me to grasp one and stay focused and on point. You know, to carry a full conversation without losing my attention.
Yeah.
So anyway, that. I was desperate, you know, and I was like, God, you promised healing, and I did communion, and what I started that morning, because I was so desperate, I said, every time the enemy hits me with this thing, I'm going to take communion, because there's nothing else. I mean, I'm just spinning, I'm just panicked.
What year are you taking communion?
That's 2013, and
okay,
I started first thing in the morning. 2013, January the 18th, I started early that morning. I had a jug of grape juice and a bag of bread, and I would go in and I'd grab a piece of bread and I'd say, God, you said that this is the meal. You said to invite you to the meal. I'm inviting you to this meal. You know, it's you and me, me and you. You know, the crown on your head wasn't placed up there so that you could connect to my thinking. You already know what mine's about. It's me, my inability to reach the higher level of your thinking. Give me your, you know, I want to make that exchange. You know, but,
right.
And I worked it that from that aspect, just being honest. I don't know how to get healed. I'm not questioning the fact that you're a healer. I'm questioning my ability to receive the healing because I know it's broken on this end. You're not broke.
Right.
Then
with 13, mm-hmm. you took communion every time that you had a brain pain. And that's the day that you, at 9:30 p.m., you got healed that day?
Yeah, at the end of the evening, it was about 6. I felt exhausted. I was tired. I went out and I was starting to straighten up the shed because, I don't know if it was bad weather coming in or whatever, but, you know, I did snow removal and stuff at that time, still working trucks. And anyway, I was out there, you know, kicking around, getting things together. And I bent over, and when I stood up, it stopped immediately. It was like,
wow.
like it just blew off. And I And I said, this is no way. You know, am I crazy? I said, I don't feel crazy. I might have just had a new level of crazy. You know, because they say your brain's powerful, right? So with that moment, the next day I had clarity of thought. I could visualize what actually happened. My dog walked across the computer. I had the prompt up to the power bill. The dog stepped on send, and the prompter was on pay it now. And I paid the bill. The dog paid the bill. You know, the dog ate the homework. Well, the dog paid the bill.
Well, the dogs eat the crumbs. The dogs used to eat the crumbs. Now they get on the computer and pay the crumbs.
And so, you know, but it all worked out. But what happened after that was that I was sitting on my sofa, and it was about 1:30 at night. It was early Sunday morning, so 18th, 19th, the 20th, on Sunday morning at 1:30. A.M., I was getting ready to reach. Mike was in bed already, and I was reaching for the TV button to cut off the TV, and all of a sudden, my right eye began to burn, water, and itch. And as I rubbed my eye, the vision came back.
Wow.
And I didn't realize it was missing.
Right.
Because it was peripheral. You know, I could see in front of me. I just couldn't see inside. I should have kind of probably, looking back, figure it out because, you know, with your peripheral vision, you kind of move, you know, I kind of halfway drove between two lanes, you know, every once in a while and people blow the horns and I would be like, what's your problem?
Yeah. You got a problem, man?
Yeah. Not mine.
So
I'm in my lane.
That was Sunday,
but anyway,
that was Sunday morning.
And then
the problem is if you weren't in any lane and Jesus was putting you in his lane, sounds like to me. That was on Sunday morning.
Right.
Sunday morning, and then, okay.
And what happened after, when that started to happen, I started to have like little electrical jolts going up and down my spine, like somebody was taking a little small screwdriver or, you know, some kind of zip, you know, something like a zip, 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 and it was going up and down my spine. And what happened was that it healed the tension in my neck and in my shoulder area and down my back. And I wasn't drooling anymore. I stopped drooling. And I could lift my leg instead of drag it.
Right. That was Sunday morning.
On Monday, I was driving around going yeehaw, but like a dog, you know, that somebody left the fence open and got to run it, you know, got to run around, you know, and visit all those things I barked at all day, you know, and I couldn't wait for you to call my name out that Monday night to tell me whether or not I was crazy or not, because I felt so, and it was when you were just, it was your first, you'd gotten video equipment and you were video recording.
Oh.
And you had to, you cut it off because it hit you too, and you began to weep, and you go, I don't want this on TV. And you cut
That's
it
right.
off.
I remember that.
So, yeah, so, you know, so, but you know, at first it was like, okay, Angie, I'm going to pray, because I'd call you all the time like crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I was obsessed, and then, you know, I couldn't, I was desperate.
Right.
Desperate. And, I knew that if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, so that night when you called in, I remember that now. I wasn't sure where you were going with that exactly, but so you called into the show that night. You'd called in many times, desperate. You know, what am I going to do? I remember that. It's like, oh, no, there's Angie. I'm going to take her across. I don't know what she's going to say. I don't know what she's going to do. I don't know what she's going to talk about. You know, what's it, you know, how bad is it going to be tonight? You know, how rough. And the Lord just said, take her call and pray for her and minister to her. And so you started taking communion, and then that stuff started happening to you. And then you called in the show on Monday to find out whether you were crazy. You're getting your doctor, your prophetic checkup, to see if you had lost your mind or not, because so much good stuff had just gone on. And what did the Lord say to you through me that night? I can't remember exactly.
You're like the woman who touched the hem of his garment. You drew his virtue from me. And then you began to weep.
Wow.
So then I said, Randy, I'm not crazy. Guess what happened? And when I told you, you began to weep, and I began to weep, and then, you know, it was a moment.
Wow.
We had a moment.
It was. We did. I remember that. I want to weep right now, but so, you know what? I didn't even know tonight. You know, I got on my message tonight, and all of a sudden the Lord says, I want you to go to the woman who had the issue of blood. I'm going like, how's that going to fit into my message, you know? And he said, I'll fit it in. Just go there. So I'm going there, and I'm reading this, and all of a sudden I'm wanting to sing it, and I don't know what. I'm just like, you know, losing it. And so you were listening the whole time. Were you thinking something was going on with the anniversary with that or what?
Well, I was thinking, well, today, I thought about it yesterday, but today I didn't really think about it. But when you started, I said, oh, it is the anniversary. It is the 18th. Yesterday I remembered it was the 18th, but, I didn't really think about it again, you know.
Right.
So,
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
So you started mentioning it. And it's when you sung He Touched Me. My daddy used to sing that song. Oh, He Touched Me.
I love that song, yeah.
And now I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
My daddy used to sing that song. I love that song. So I was like having a daddy visit, a Jesus visit, and everything else. So I thought I'd say, happy anniversary, Randy.
Well, I'm glad you did. I did not even have that in my clicking at all about that. And I'm going, I think that's what she's talking about. That time she called in, I didn't know exactly for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what you're talking about. And so I'm glad I took it, and I'm glad it fits in with the show tonight, because God's doing this with people. I began to pray over Cynthia, my first caller tonight, and I began to see some things in her ability to receive the seed of God's word, the seed of purpose, the seed of vision, the seed of the future. And I saw her being able to hold it. And like, I mean, my passion level is just, something's happening, so I'm gonna let you go, and thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. I'm gonna pray for you. I'll pray for you.
You're gonna put me back in the prayer line where I belong.
Yeah, I'm gonna pray for you.
You're gonna put me back in line, right?
Yeah, you are in line. I'm just gonna.
I am in line. Okay. I'll wait for my turn.
No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pray for you now. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, but I'm kind of getting loaded, so. Woo! So thank you, Lord, for that anniversary. Thank you, Lord, for that message tonight. I mean, I'm preaching on something else. The Lord said, go to the woman who had the issue of blood. And I'm thinking, how's that going to fit in? And little did I know. I mean, I didn't even, you know, I don't remember when even that was. All this stuff happened. I know it was a long time ago. And you called into the show, and all I said was, but the Lord said, you touched the hem of his garment, and you've been made whole. And then you start telling me how you had been made whole, and we just began to weep. I remember that. I remember turning the cameras off, and because I just didn't want, you know, that. And so, you know, wow. And God, you just put that in her. And even tonight, me preaching, me talking about that, sharing that from the heart of Jesus, and it was Jesus. Here, Angie, what was being said tonight was what I was mainly trying to get across was that Jesus through me was saying, oh, she touched me, and oh, the joy that flooded her soul. Her eye was healed, her brain was retrieved, and her leg didn't drag anymore because she touched me. And I made her whole. That's what I felt God was trying to say for somebody. I don't, maybe it's probably for everybody. But then you were listening tonight and you sent that to me and I feel thankful. So there's something about you that song that you say your dad sang that song to you, that's beautiful, or he loved that song. He used to sing that song. So thank God, it's so beautiful. And we sing that song tonight, Jesus, over your people. That if you're not physically sick or you have anything, that you can be spiritually, emotionally, mentally touched immediately. Just and even the very thing God had me get, I totally forgot about the immediately. I mean, she was immediately, her brain quit hurting. Immediately, her eye was, I mean, she scratched, she rubbed her eye, she was immediately ill. And then her leg quit dragging. Like, she felt electrical currents go. You know why her electrical currents? Because her brain was being healed. Wait till I tell y'all my new stuff about the brain. I mean, the literal physical brain. God has been having me, giving me revelation on the brain, stuff I haven't, I'm not going to be able to talk about all of it because I can't give it all away, but I'm going to give away what God showed me. And it is amazing the things he's about to do in God's people's brain, literally in their physical brain. Where a lot of the issues are, where a lot of the problems are, the literal physical brain, how God, just like, that's what God was doing with her. He was healing her brain. That's the main thing that I got out of it. He touched my brain. And you didn't even know it, Angie, but I've been into this brain stuff obsessively, compulsively for weeks now. I mean, I'm talking about obsessive compulsive. When I get obsessed with something, it's because God is saying, Randy, I'm going to show you something that's going to change my people's lives. Oh, keeping Naho, shaking Mahapa. And it's going to be glorious. And I'm going to start touching the brain. You didn't, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I talked a little bit, but, you know, when I read your little testimony and I saw the brain, you know what got me on the show with you was the brain part. I said, the brain, my brain stopped screaming. I'm going like, if you only knew, Angie, what God had been speaking to me about the screaming brain, maybe not in those exact words, but that's what he's been talking to me about and showing me literally how to overcome it, how to conquer it, how to literally in some physical ways, not just all spiritual, but in some physical ways. It's not herbs and all that kind of, that's part of it. That is part of it. It is definitely part of it. It's a big part of it, but it's not the whole, most of it is something else. And Cynthia says, can you pray for my brain? I was kicked in the head twice by my husband. Oh, wow. Yes, in Jesus' name. I speak full recovery to her brain in Jesus' name, where her husband kicked her twice. In the name of Jesus. God says, I'm pouring out a spirit. God's been speaking to me about the brain for a few years. A couple of people caught it that I talked, you know, that came back and brought it back to me. You know, a couple of people here on the show, maybe one actually as far as on a regular basis. And that person caught that because I think they're into that too.
And it became this thing that God is a theme. It became a theme. And I have a lot of things, a few things, many things. How many things do I have? A bunch, but not a whole bunch, but a bunch of themes that he focuses on and how they all come together like a puzzle. But each puzzle piece is like a theme, and the brain is like a big piece of this puzzle. And the Lord said, I'm talking about the physical thing in your brain. That God says, I'm getting ready to heal the brains of my people. Literally, you've been telling me that. And then I read this thing. Brandy, my brain, and January the 13th. But, oh, my God, there's the brain. And then Cynthia calls in, texts, heal the brains, Jesus, of your people. Touch their brains so they can think clear. It's not just about brain damage only. It's not just about certain, you know, you took drugs and you have your mind all back from that. I'm not talking about even where you have junk in your brain, trash in your brain. You've had brain damage, you know, emotional damage. I'm not talking about just one particular thing. I'm talking about your physical brain and in every area. Your brain has several different parts to it. And God says, I'm reaching into every part of the brain, the frontal, every part of the brain. And it's going to be like you're going to feel, watch this, you're going to feel the electrical currents going down through your body, because when I heal your brain, hallelujah, the nerves are going to send the healing virtue of Jesus through your body and vibrate and loosen every sickness and disease in your body. I'm going to start doing it through the brain, saith the Lord. Heal her, Jesus. Touch her, Jesus. Move upon her, Jesus. God, put your hand on your head, and I don't care if it's physical. You don't even realize you've been using a very small percentage of your brain. And God told me, revealed it to me in Scripture that I'm about to not just through the Word of God only. The Word of God is what brings the revelation, but the revelation is in the physical part of the brain. God gave us the physical part of the brain. God's going to heal the physical brain. And we're going to start, and when I say heal it, I'm talking about using 100% of your brain. Hallelujah. Through some physical things, through some eating the right herbs, eating the right things, the right minerals, the right vitamins, the right vegetables, and things. And we're going to have all different ways we're going to do this thing. And it's going to bring healing, oxygen to the parts of your brain that barely get any oxygen. And the reason they can't function, because they're barely getting any oxygen. God, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the oxygen of the Holy Ghost. He breathed oxygen on them. And God told me, he said, I'm going to start showing you how to get oxygen to the brain in the places that it's there. It's not dead. It's just asleep because it's just barely getting any oxygen. So it's just kind of barely surviving. It's not dead. It's sitting there. He said, I'm about to resurrect. I'm about to bring it forth. Because I'm going to get oxygen to those parts of the brain. And I'm literally doing this right now. I've literally been doing it for the last few weeks. I've been literally doing this. Literally. Physically. I can't tell you all of it, but I would love to tell you all, but there's a reason I can't tell you. But this is literally something God is, he's working in the physical, the spiritual, the natural, the mental, every part of it. He's bringing it all together. He's going to heal man completely in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 769-220. I think this is Hendrika. Oh, hello?
Yes, it's Hendrika.
Okay, you're awake. Okay, good. So I didn't get you too late.
Yes.
All right, good.
Hendrika and Chris. Thank you.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. All right. Pray for Hendrika and Chris tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I may pray over everybody's brain tonight. I hope y'all don't mind. Don't be offended. I'm not saying your brain dead. I'm just saying there's parts of your brain that's almost dead. You, me, everybody, because until you're using 100% of your brain, you got brain dead issues or brain sleep. We're going to call it brain sleep, and it's sleeping because it has very little oxygen. It's like being in an area where there's very little oxygen. You barely breathe. You're barely living. You're alive, but barely. I'm talking about your brain. Jesus is breathing on your brain, Andrika and Chris. Moshepo. The Ruach of God. The breath of God. The oxygen of God. And getting it way down deep into your soul. In your brain, the brain, the physical, literal brain, is where the soul resides. The soul is spiritual. When your brain dies, when our brains die, our soul does not die. Our soul goes live, but your brain and your soul are intertwined. They are one. The biko neke sheki pa 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 nepele vili broko the shaking da fata. That's why the Spirit of God says, Nishi kinje u chemba me yende u jenge yamu amainde nge ya ga ye wo anata ye hu ya. That my word is part of the healing process. Yes, my word is engrafted into your brain, your soul, and your soul and your brain are one. And when your soul begins to be healed, your brain begins to function. And the oxygen, the breath, the Ruach of God begins to breathe into those places that your brain has just barely been functioning at all. And you're using like 5%, 10% of your brain, probably 10% at the most. I don't know how much the percentage is, but I'm talking God is breathing in your soul. He's breathing in your brain. Hallelujah. And bringing the oxygen, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, deep into the deeper crevices of your brain. Hallelujah. And activating creativity. When you walk in creativity, Andrika, you walk in the ability to come out of anything and into the high places of God. You have the ability to come out of any low place, any average place, any the middle place, middle class place, into the high classes of God. Shankwati, because of your brain. When your soul is changed, it changes your physical mass brain. But there's much more to it than just the word of God and the breath of God. It is literally getting physical oxygen to that brain. Hinge, of which everything hinges upon. Meke, maka. God, I breathe on their brains tonight, God. Everybody needs their brains to be breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. Receive the oxygen of God deep into those parts of your brain that are just barely functioning. Come alive 100-fold of your brain and your intellectual experience with God. Mikoshako pate. Where you'll be able to know the height and the length and the width and the depth of the love. You will know it, the knowledge of it. We can't receive it because our brain is half asleep. It will blow our brain to pieces. But the breath of God is bringing your brain alive, Andrika. And Chris, in Jesus' name, and when your brain comes alive, hey, ha, 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 your brain, that's where all those electrodes, that's where all the nerves, that's where everything penetration goes. When she felt that the electrodes going up or down her spine, that's because her brain was being healed. She said her God was healing her brain. And when God touches your brain, it causes those parts of your body that aren't functioning properly to start functioning at high levels. You may be totally healed, but you are not completely, fully developed in the high level of God Almighty. You can run with the wind. Hallelujah. When Jesus heals your brain and every nerve in your body, feeds every part of your body, fully developed nutrition and oxygen and power, and it all comes from God. And communion, like she said tonight, she hit it right on because I talked about this about two or three years ago, Andrika and Chris. that communion has to do with eating the body, partaking of the flesh of Jesus. Why? Because that flesh is just like your brain. Your brain is flesh. It came from God, and it's going to go back. But as long as we're in this earth and our physical brain is alive, God's going to give us new, fresh meat. Literally, our brain is going to become new, fresh meat, so we can clearly, we can think at high levels. We think real hard to make $1,000 a week. We work real hard to make $1,000 a day, but we're going to be able to think so easy. We're going to work less and make more. Why? Because our brain is going to be thinking at high levels. Instead of making $1,000 a day, we're going to make $2,500,000 a day. Why? Because it ain't hard when your brain is functioning 100-fold. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Let it come forth in the name of Jesus. For Chris, hallelujah, and Indrika, in Jesus' name. Heck, I may pray over everybody about their brain tonight. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to go with God. hopefully you're going to get this. 915-248, who am I talking to, return, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas and Carmen in Texas.
Oh, you guys. Okay, good to have you tonight. Daniel and Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel and Carmen. And I know that Carmen is into health things, too, and it's very, very important. All these things are important. What we're going to find out, Daniel and Carmen, is that every part of God's word, how we eat, what we eat, and when we eat, how much we eat, and the things that we eat, everything from what I've talked about, from pomegranates to everything in the Bible that talks about foods and those things are important. The food of the Word of God and the breath of God, the breathing of the Spirit of God upon His people, the wind of the Spirit. And God, I declare that the wind of the Holy Ghost upon Carmen and Daniel tonight, God, I declare and decree upon Daniel and Carmen, the wind of God begin to breathe. Because you can have everything, but until you get the breath of God to bring that oxygen, when he breathed into them, he breathed. You know what Jesus breathed into them, Carmen and Daniel? You know what he breathed into them? He breathed into them 1,000-fold, 100-fold pure oxygen. It was so pure. It was so purely from God. It was so full of life and energy. When God brought Adam and Eve to life, that's what he breathed in them. He breathed in them pure glory, breathed into them the pure glory of God. And when he breathed into them that pure glory, they breathed that in. It brought their whole being to life. We'll stop thinking like paupers. Hallelujah. Start thinking like whoppers. Yeah. Oh, that was a whopper. He caught a whopper. It was. How big was that fish? Oh, it was a whopping big fish. It was a whopper. It was a big one. It was like, we never caught fish this big. What's going on? Because now you're hanging out with the breath of God. Now you're hanging out with the breath of Jesus. Well, when he breathes into you, your brain comes to start believing God 100% because his breath is so pure that when you get a little bit, just get a little bit of his oxygen or his spirit into your brain. Hallelujah. Bull sticky. And why do you think that the wind on the day of Pentecost, it said they heard a great sound and a shaking, and shaking is important. Vibrations are important. I'm going to talk about that sometime in the future, how vibrations are important. Literal, I'm not talking about some mystical vibration thing, that too. I'm talking about all of it. I'm not leaving out anything. But the holy vibrations, how God, now listen to me. I'm telling you this, I'm talking literal, physical vibrations. Good vibrations. I'm talking about good vibrations that are going to vibrate your soul, vibrate your body. Well, it's when you vibrate something, it opens up the blood vessels. It gets the blood to flowing. What is blood? The blood is the life. The life carries the oxygen. And when you've got oxygen from Jesus in your blood system, it is going to bring to life every part of your body, every part of your soul, every part of your mind, every part of your ability to communicate, to prosper, to think straight, to think clear, to think above others. You know why we're going to be prosperous more than anybody? It's not because we're better than them. It's because we got pure oxygen of God's glory, the glory oxygen pouring into our soul, into our mind, and our minds are going from some wrinkled up 90% of our brain being some wrinkled up little mass over here, barely functioning, barely breathing, to 100-fold brain power from coming from the Holy Ghost power. Because when you got a Holy Ghost power and your brain is powered to function 100% in agreement with God, hallelujah, because the wind or the glorious breath and the oxygen of God is coming into your soul, into your brain, so you can think at high levels. When they'll be trying to figure out how to do all these mathematical equations that only really genius people can do, you'll be popping about so fast. They'll be going like, how do you come up with that? How do you come up with that? How do you come up? Well, you know, you guys got, you're geniuses. You got, you know, only one part of your brain you're using fully, but I'm using all my brain fully. And when I have a fully developed brain being fully breathed in by God, I can think from every part of my brain. So now I'm a genius only because I'm connected to the genius of God, and I don't reject any of his geniusness. Therefore, I'm a genius from God because God has opened up my brain and breathed into me life, into my soul, where I'm functioning 100%, making geniuses look like they're stupid. Hallelujah. Bullshit. I speak to your brains tonight. I speak to that mass in your head and that skull, and I breathe. I speak the breath of God's glory. That's not just 100% oxygen in the natural realm. It is 1,000% glory breath, glory oxygen. And when it goes into your brain, it doesn't just kind of like, you know, give it some breath to breathe. It brings it to life, opens it up, and causes it to function. It causes the blood to flow through every blood vessel, and every part of your brain is getting 100% full glory oxygen from heaven, from the Spirit of God, and activating your brain so that brain will come in total 100% agreement with God. That's what Jesus said. I only do what I see my Father did. How did he see what the Father did? Because his brain could see it, and he could come into agreement with it, and then he did it. That's why he was smarter than everybody. That's why all those lawyers that came and tried to trip him up didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. He said Solomon was a genius, but someone greater than the genius of geniuses is here, and that's the Son of Man. Because you know why? Not because he's just the Son of Man, but because he has no sin. His brain is fully flowing with God and the oxygen from heaven. He lived and breathed in the heavenly realms from the oxygen from heaven, and therefore in the natural realm he was raising people from the dead, healing the sick. Why? Because he believed 100%, because he had 100% of the oxygen of God, the glory of God going through his brain. Hallelujah. Amen for Carmen and Daniel. Thank you guys. I guess I'm going to stick on this. I may go on this on all along. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but here we go. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to from, please?
Chris and Kathy from Texas.
Chris and Cassie. All right, Chris. Good to have you. All right, give me just a second here. I'll be right back. All right, Chris and Kathy, thank you for being there with us. Thanks for tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Chris and Kathy. God, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you, that our soul, Chris, Kathy, our soul is a part of us that gets wounded and hurt. Our soul is a part of us that has emotional damage, emotional pain, emotional heartache, things that we can't even open up. We can't even open up the door and go into that room of our mind, because in that room is some secret, heavy, dirty, nasty things that we've had done to us in our life, all of us, some a lot more than others. Some it's been so hidden, it's been so secret that they lock the door and never, we'll never go in that room again because it's so painful. And that's a part of the soul, that's a part of the brain, the memories. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to breathe into Chris and Kathy's brains and minds, any areas that they have a little bit of pain or a lot of pain or a lot of suffering, a lot of things they have that have been so devastating that haven't been able to even go and look in that part of their memory because they had to shut it off and shut off all the lights and just don't ever go there and just try to forget about that room, even in that. It's still there, a part of their brain.
It's like being part of your house. It's right there. You can't get away from it. You walk by it every day. You think, I'm not going in there. I'm trying to forget about that part of my life. I'm trying to forget about that part of the things that people that wounded me and hurt me said things bad to me. And that's your soul. That's your soul. That's your mind. Your brain has those memories. And your soul and your brain are one. And God's going to breathe freshness. The refreshing comes from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for breathing freshness into Kathy's brain tonight, God, to where her brain goes, ooh, I feel happy. Ooh, I feel light. Oh, I like believing. I feel like believing what God says, not just what people say, but what God says. I thank you, Lord, I'm not going to doubt the Word of God anymore because now I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to go look at anything because I got Jesus with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me, that you're going to go with Kathy, God, in every area of her life, whatever little things, whatever big things, wherever she's been wounded and hurt, things that she's tried to forget and tried to just wash over and say, it doesn't really matter. I don't have to really deal with that. I just buried that and moved on. But God, I thank you that you're going to cleanse it and wash it and make it beautiful, where she'll be able to use her pain and the areas of her pain life are going to be part of the greatest parts of her life that'll be the greatest gain. Where she's going to believe big. She's going to believe high. She's going to believe far. She's going to believe wide. She's going to believe. It's going to shock people what she's going to believe. She's going to believe the Word of God. She's going to believe when she sees the Word, she's going to believe the Word. Not what people say about it, but what God says about his Word. In Jesus' name, that she's a word person, God, and you're going to breathe upon her brain, her soul, and every area that she has hurts and wounds and places where people wounded and hurt her, God, you're going to breathe in that and bring refreshing and give her courage to walk in that room and face those things and find out that it was as bad as it was because Jesus is with her. He will walk with her in those valleys and help her to forgive and bless those who wounded her, who hurt her and who blamed her for things. Those that blamed you. God says, I don't want you to blame them. I want you to put that blame on me, saith the Lord. On me on the cross. Christ on the cross. Put the blame on me. Bring it on. I took the blame of all the shame of every game that every person's ever played with you, Kathy. I've taken that shame and so who do I blame? Who do I shame for this? And we try to find out who's responsible for my pain. You know, they did this, they did that, and we all know that people that are not perfect. But I thank you, Jesus, that you're giving her power to cast that blame upon Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're going to turn it for her glory, turn it for her honor, turn it for her beauty, turn it for her purity, God, her purity in every area of her life, God. It's not just about how we act, it's about how we think, that we think clean. Clean thinking is the thinking of when somebody says something wrong to us, we're able to think clean about them. We're able to bless those who persecute us. We're able to think clean about them in Jesus' name. We're able to bless them, do good to them. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, instead of think dirty thoughts and like cursing them, wish they would go away, wish they would, you know, be gone in Jesus' name, wish they would perish. She's gonna wish upon them what Jesus wished upon them, forgiveness and grace and mercy, God. And I thank you, Lord, for Chris, for restoring Chris, God, and his brain, every part of his brain, his mind, his memories, those things that try to shame him, that Chris is going to rise up, and by the breath of God in his brain, he's going to walk in the brain shame. God's going to shame every bit of shame that's tried to shame him and tell him, you can't do that, you're a failure, you're not going to be able to go past this particular level. Now, the Lord says that the only level you won't be able to come up to is the ones where you deliberately and willfully doubt me. And the Lord says, I'm breathing into your brain where you will never deliberately and willfully doubt me ever again. How you are going to believe me. You're going to know me. Your clean thinking and clean understanding is believing God. When we believe him, we're clean. When we don't believe him, we're unclean. And I thank you, Lord, that Chris's thoughts toward you, Jesus, are clean. They are pure. They are holy. They are glorious. They are awesome, God. Hallelujah. And no limitation with him, Jesus. No limitations with him, God. God, you're gonna do it little by little, breath by breath, in Jesus' name. Inch by inch, someone said, anything's a cinch. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to go from inch to inch, to foot to foot, to mile by mile.
acre by acre in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You increase him and teach him how to move from one degree of glory to the next in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because his brain, God, you're cleaning, you're washing, you're breathing into his brain the breath of life. We're thinking clean is not like some lustful thought towards some we shouldn't be lustful for. It has nothing to do with that kind of unclean thing. I'm talking about that all is part of it. But I'm saying that the uncleanness thing is how we think about the Word of God. Do we believe it fully? Because if you 100% believe the Word of God, you're 100% clean in your thinking. When you're thinking clean, clean is clean thinking, is clean believing. It's believing him and what he says. Amen. In the name of Jesus. That's what clean is. We're going to change clean from what it's been before into how we think about God's Word. How you're unclean according to how you think about his word, whether it's for you or not. Amen. Amen. Like, whether it's for you or not, it is for you. Amen. 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 And amen. And I hear you keep saying amen. Amen. So let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done in Jesus' name. All right. 202-722. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, you guys. Good to have you guys tonight. Daryl Paul and Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul. God, and I thank you, Lord, for that life-giving power in him that wants to bring life to people, that wants to bring happiness to people, that wants to bring joy to people. God, it wants to breathe the breath of God, the oxygen of God into the souls of people where people are hurting, where people are suffering, to bring them joy, to bring them comfort. And I see something in you bringing people, something in you wanting to not only for you to go there and live in that place and stay in that place, but where David says to lay in green pastures and dwell by the waters, the rivers of God. Hallelujah. Lay in green pastures of comfort and blessing and peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, to be in green pastures, hallelujah, and be by the clear waters of God that bring nurturing and feed and clothe and give people comfort. I see, God, there's something in you that wants to bring people to that place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It wants to bring people to that place. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Wants to bring people to that place. I'm going to go. Hang on, hang on a second. I want to go there just for a minute. Wow. All right, I want to go to Psalms 23. You prepare a table before me, and in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Here it is. The Lord is my shepherd, verse 1. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, quiet waters. He restores my soul, my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that ability, that desire, and Daryl Paul, to bring people to that place, to guide them, to lead them, to draw them. I know you like music. You've talked about that. You have a drawing in it. And I think that's one of the things God's going to do. It's going to show you ways through music, through worship, through singing, to bring people to those green pastures where they would lie down and rest, and their soul would be able to rest. Some people can rest their body. Like they say, they take a Sabbath, whether it's on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whenever they take their resting time, but they can't rest their mind. And God's using you, calling you to help people rest their minds. So their physical body's resting. What good does it do if their mind's not resting, right? Because the brain needs to take the break too, in Jesus' name. And God's called you to help people find that place where their brain can take a break. In Jesus' name, amen. And Nicole, God, I thank you for Nicole, God. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Father, for using her to bring life to others, God, because you're going to bring life to her. You're impregnating her with your glory. You're impregnating her with that passion to see families happy together and dwelling together. And Psalms 133, let me go there for a second. Let's read that. What's going on here? Psalms 133. So I'm going to the Psalms all of a sudden. Let's see where this takes us here. Psalms 133. You never know where we're going to go. But we're going. All right. All right, Psalms 133. This is for you, Nicole. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. It is like fine oil on the head, fine oil. Precious oil, some versions say, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard over the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. But there the Lord has bestowed the blessing of life forevermore. There's something about this with you. It's a song of the ascents of David. And I thank you, Lord, for how good and how pleasant, for her passion to bring together the brethren, to live together in harmony. In Jesus' name, because when that harmony actually happens, Nicole, you're gonna witness it. You're gonna see the fine oil, the precious oil. It's called the precious. We're gonna walk in the times of precious times. We're gonna see God do things that we thought would never happen. We're gonna see mysteries unfold from the foundation of the earth. We're gonna talk about that here in the next few days, at least different parts of it. And God's giving you planting this word in you to unveil mysteries that have been hidden from the foundation of the earth, not just through parables. We know parables don't have a lot to do with some things, but they do. And we're going and God's going to use that also in many ways to open up, and bring that harmony. Because when the word of God is made real and living where it's alive, it brings this harmony that causes this harmony creates this vibration. It's a vibration. The harmony creates a when a cat gets real happy, they just purr. They purr. They're purring. This is what I see in the brain area, where God's going to bring harmony in the brain. He's going to use you to bring harmony in the brain. You're going to see it. You're going to watch harmony, that like a kitty cat, where they're just purring or purr when they're happy and when they're safe, when they're feeling safe and pleasant and when they're pleased. They have this harmony thing about them, whether it's you can hear it. They're just happy and safe and free. And that vibration is something that penetrates the body into the brain. And the vibrations in the brain, the harmony of the brain, when the brain is functioning properly, this is what God showed me, Nicole. I mean, it sounds like when the brain is functioning without anxiety and stress, it purrs like a cat, literally. You could almost literally, God showed me this, you can almost literally hear their brains purring. When every part of their brain is functioning, has all the oxygen that it needs, has all the nutrition that it needs, because what carries nutrition to the every part of the brain? The blood cells. When the blood cells are getting the oxygen, they carry total health and total harmony, where literally, I can't say too much about this, but literally, my brain, because of the things I've been doing specifically with it, physically with it, different things, have have my brain. I even told somebody the other day, I said, just like my brain is purring like a kitty cat. I literally said that. So when I was seeing this word right now about the harmony and all that, that's what I saw. It's like I saw the harmony as the humming of the brain, the purring of the brain. And when that happens, that fine, precious oil upon the head. What's the head? Oh, what's the head? Oh, the brain. The brains are going to start functioning 100-fold, 100%. We're going to see it in our day. We're going to see it in our time. It's part of our destiny. It's part of our purpose. It's part of the vision God's given us. So when we read the Word of God, we understand it 100%. And then we can, which means we can get up and walk in it. Nobody's going to say, know the Lord, because everybody's going to know the Lord. That's where we're all heading. But the process of getting there is the challenge that God is putting you to getting there, the challenge of getting there. Amen. And making it happen physically, literally. All right, 863-605.
And Charles. Hey, Randy, it's Nikki and Charles.
Hey,
from Florida.
Yes. Thank you. Nikki and Charles from Florida. Amen. Amen. All right, what's going on here? We want to turn off. All right, Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord. And this is what I sense in this same, the word I've given Nicole and Daryl Paul is kind of like coming over into you in the humming area in the realm of peace. And like I said, the kitty cat, when they're content and happy and they're fed and they're satisfied, they've had the water they need, they had the food they need, and they're in a little comfortable place, and they're just sitting there, they kind of close their eyes, and they just hum because they're happy. That's because when your brain is free to think, when your brain all thinks together, when every part of your brain is flowing, that's the reason I know God's going to bring our brains to 100% functioning physically, literally physical, not just spiritual dimension. The spiritual dimension and the physical dimension are going to be activated at the same time. God is revealing some things hidden that I'm getting them, some of them, a few of the big ones, I think they're big, about the brain and about how the soul and the brain and the vibrations and why God does what he does and the whole thing about the brain, the physical brain. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to begin to so that people will think they don't know a lot. They may not be never gone to college, or some people don't even go to haven't been to high school and graduated from high school, or graduated from college or been to college. I've never graduated from college myself. I went there a little bit to play ball. I didn't go there to learn anything. I went there to play ball because I got saved and I was going to fulfill my dream to be a football player or an athlete. But because I didn't think my brain could, I wasn't there for learning because I think my brain could do it. Because I felt like I was always kind of like, one of those slower type, But I was a good athlete, so, that would make up for it. And God started saying, I'm going to make your athletic skills and your brain skills all hyper, all like 100-fold. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with Nikki and Charles, God, that you're going to breathe into them and show them that their intellect is going to be measured by the level that they let God work in their brain, and as God is working in their soul, and not just getting the Word of God in there, but doing the things that cause that brain, the physical mass in your head. People think that's not important, but with the soul and the physical brain work hand in hand. And God says, I'm going, as your brain is functioning 100%, and I'm breathing, and I'm getting all the food and nutrition to your brain, oxygen to your brain, the breath of God to your brain, you're breathing. When Jesus breathed on them, he said, receive ye the holy oxygen of God, the holy oxygen of God, because you can have breath in the natural realm, that man has natural breath. Heathens can go to a bar and get drunk and be heathens and act like heathens all night long and be breathing. They have breath. But Jesus came to bring a breath that is a high-level glory breath, that when he breathes into your nostrils, Nikki and Charles, whoosh, the breath of glory into your nostrils, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, going into your brain, and your brain's going like, the glory of your presence, come and fill me every day. Breathe your breath in my soul and make my physical brain whole, so my intellect is at higher levels than anyone has ever known. Oh, the glory of your breath, oh God. Breathe into their nostrils, dear Jesus, like you did the disciples that day. Your glorious oxygen so they could think at a higher level. Because you breathed on them, they received something. They went, oh, what was that? All of a sudden, I'm thinking clearer than I ever have in my life because of the glorious oxygen of God. And they started singing together, looking at each other like, did he breathe on you the same he breathed on me? And they all look at each other and go, oh, the glory of your breath, oh, Jesus, breathed inside my nostrils that leads right to my brain, bringing my brain to function 100% so I can think the higher thoughts of God and do them by your glorious breath. The breath of God. So breathe deep. Nikki and Charles, breathe. Take a deep breath and breathe in. But the Lord says, by my breath comes through my words, because my words quickened by the Holy Ghost. My word is breathed by the breath of the Spirit of God. Breathing life into your physical mass brain, in your head, in your skull. In Jesus' name, as your soul prospers, as your brain prospers, hallelujah, and begins to breathe deep, receiving the depth and the depth of your brain, in the secret places of your brain, places your brain has never thought before, places your brain has never been before, are going to open up the gates of glory. And here comes the King of Glory, breathing the breath of his oxygenation of the Holy Ghost. That is so pure, that is so breathy, that your brain can't help but go, Lord of my God. That's not just spirit stuff. That's physical stuff. That's mass. That's your physical mass of your body. Your mass, the muscles and nerves and of your body come alive and begin to be reformed and reshaped into perfection of the glory of God, where your body is functioning 100%. In the image and likeness of Jesus that he made us in the very beginning, because the breathe, when he created Adam and Eve, he created Charles and Nikki, breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. Not the breath of man, the breath of God. Hallelujah. May they breathe the breath of glory. May they breathe the breath of God into the nostrils of your people, God, in Jesus' name, by your word, by your spirit. Hallelujah, knowing that we're not trying to reach the soul only, but the soul reaches in the brain. When the soul changes, we teach people to understand that the brain changes too. Hallelujah, they're thinking, their literal physical brain begins to think differently at higher levels. Hallelujah. That's why we remain in the glory, is because our thinking changes. We start thinking like the word of God. We don't just talk about it. We think it, because our brain can now think it, think like it, think in its image. Hallelujah, because it starts to get to receiving the glorious through our nostrils, through the breathing apparatus, through the holes in our head where we breathe in the glory of God. Bring every part of our being, every physical part, every spiritual part, every emotional, mental part of our body, even our toenails, hallelujah, and our fingernails and our hair, and every fiber of our skin being made whole in Jesus' name by the breath of God, bringing life. The physical body laid there when Adam and Eve were created. They were beautiful. They had everything they needed about them, but they had no breath in them. Their brain wasn't functioning. Their body wasn't functioning. their body couldn't function because their brain couldn't function. So what does he do? He breathes into their nose holes, into their nostrils, right into their brain, and their brain went. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can think now, I can walk now, I can fly now, because I've got my life from God. Every physical part of my being is full of his glory, and I can function 100%. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to come short of the glory. We're not going to come short. That's what sin is. Sin is not just doing some horrible bad. Sin is coming short of that glory. Hallelujah. Akishawaka. Nikopae. All right, 972-695. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Tanis and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, you guys. Terrence and Tanisha. Terrence and Tanisha at the show tonight, Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus. Hashe, Uncle Masa, Ikashomaka, Miketapugo, Chakapakapawa, Pakamanete, Mikechongo, Pinkala Pahavote, Bevete, Malando, Panquante, Panchoka, Akariha, Lakariha, Lakariha, Eke, Eke, Maha. I keep hearing the Lord saying, my daughter, like he told the woman who had the issue of blood tonight, you know, that it was losing, like it's like the life was draining out of her body and she couldn't stop it. Like things were just draining out of her life and she couldn't stop it. She was still alive, but she had a lot of money go down the tubes because she spent all she had on trying to stay alive and couldn't stop the bleeding, couldn't stop the draining of the life. And I thank you, Jesus, that that anointing is in her life. God, you call you call her your daughter, Jesus, just like you called the woman with issue of blood. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has stopped the bleeding. Your faith has stopped the draining of life. You reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Now go forth and heal others. Go forth and bring life to those who the life. They've been wounded, they've been hurt, and they got a wound that can't be healed. Humans have tried everything. They try to fix their finances. They can't fix it. They're being sucked out of them. Their emotions are being sucked out of them. They're draining up. They can't stop it. They can't plug the hole. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what's happening. And then one day, Jesus, they hear that Jesus, here comes Tanisha with Jesus, with that anointing, that person. To stop the bleeding, to stop the draining of life. And when she noticed that she couldn't be hidden anymore, she came forth and she said, okay, Lord, yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't want anybody to know because they were going to, you know, take me out. They were going to find me. They were going to put me in jail and put me up. They were going to put, you know, take me away. It's like, you know, I knew I was breaking the law. But I broke the law of human beings' faith. I broke the law of my own. I broke the laws of human belief. I broke the laws of what people say you can do and can't do, and what on the human level, where if you do this, you know, with the priests say that you can't touch people when you're like, because I knew, so I was hidden because I knew if they found out that it was me, that they were going to come and get me. And Lord, you say that by touching you, my faith in you have made me whole because I have my faith in you, Jesus, not my faith in what people say or do, their laws, their legal system, but your system, God. Hallelujah. Mosheki Mavate Bakore Barohaha. The breaking the laws of man or superseding them is a better way to say it. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. It's the fulfillment of the law of God. And by her passing through those people, knowing that if she touched them, she was making them unclean. If she got caught doing that, that was going to be it for her according to man's, God's, even God's law at that time, how man had taken it and used it and abused it. And yet your faith, Tanisha, broke through those things, through the laws of man that are even designed by God in the earth realm to do certain things, that you came up a higher level in Jesus' name and touched the hem of his garment, Moshek. And he says, by woman, by your, Jesus knew the laws. He knew what she had. He knew it. Once she realized who she was, he went, yeah, and you've had an issue of blood. You know, you broke the law. Come up here. And he goes, congratulations. You made it. Touching the hem of his garment, stop the bleeding. Touching the hem of his garment. Who's shaking? Not trying to, already went to trying to fix it here and fix it there and go to this doctor and that person, that counselor, this thing, that thing, and thing. But now I got my eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Who's shaking? I'm going to a higher power, a higher law, a higher faith. I thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. I thank you, Lord, for Terrence. And I don't know why, and I'm thinking about this, but I'm thinking about the child, the young boy that Jesus raised from the dead when he was on his way somewhere, and he saw this funeral procession going through, and the mother was weeping because it was her only child. And there was something about that. And Jesus had great compassion upon her and went and raised that boy from the dead. Hallelujah. They were on their way to bury him. It was over for him. That boy, he was gone. It was over. It was done. It was finished. And God says, now I've chosen today to have compassion, not just on that mother, to have compassion that so that mother can have that boy in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that Terrence is that boy that you've raising from the dead in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. His life was over, gone, finished. The mother was weeping. And then here comes Jesus. And now he lives. We don't hear anything else about the story, but he lived. He lived his life. Hallelujah. He was dead, and now he's alive. Because one day, Jesus came passing by, and it had nothing to do with the mother. The mother wasn't like the woman who had the issue of blood who went after Jesus. Jesus just happened to come upon, so-called, just happened to come upon the situation and just happened to see the grieving woman over the loss of her baby boy. And God goes, we can't let that be. We're going to change that. It had nothing to do with their faith. And it had to do with destiny. Hallelujah. The sheko makade. That you're raising up his destiny, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It shall not die, but it shall live. Because Terrence shall live and declare the glory of God, declare the destinies and the purposes of God in Jesus' name. Nishniki pungreo apalaho. All right. 240-482, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie.
All right, Valerie, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, I thank you for the recovery system, God. I thank you, Lord, for breathing into her mind and her brain, God. God, the recovery. The only way she's going to be recovered, brain's going to be fully recovered from the loss, from will this ever be restored? Will this ever be restored? Will this ever be restored? And I speak the spirit of restoration, God,
that her brain, her soul, the Bible talks about the soul receives the engrafted word for the saving of the souls, the restoration. Lord, I speak the spirit of restoration upon her in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of restoration is upon her, God, to restore her soul, to restore her brain. Because when your soul is restored, your brain begins to function, your brain begins to think right, your brain begins to go. Your physical, literal mass, that little, that muscle in your skull that's called your physical brain. Hallelujah. Moshe, I see your brain being like a woman who cried out, and like the blind man, who cried out when Jesus walked by because he was blind. He could not see. And Lord, I thank you that the areas that my sister cannot see, she can see in a lot of areas, but there's some areas where she's been blind, where she wants to see you. She wants to believe you. She wants to believe you for more than just getting her out of the ditch at times. You want to restore her to believe you, God, for 100% recovery in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's not just to recover what you know you've lost, but to recover those things that you don't even know that have been robbed from you. And God's going to show you the mysteries of the things that have been stolen from you and robbed from you, from genetic things to inheritances. And God's going to open that up for you in the name of Jesus and restore to you at a high level of your brain. Your brain's going to come alive in Jesus' name because you're going to breathe in the very life of Jesus. Take the breath of God inside you, not the breath of men. When we live off the breath of men, of what men say, what do men say things with their breath? Well, the same man, the same woman can use the breath of God and say something. And God, I thank you that she will, Valerie will begin to receive the breath of the words that come from God, that breathe into her life, God, and tell her that how your value of her, God, that she will see her value. She will understand her value. God, she's gonna do everything like the woman who lost the coin, and stopped everything and got a light and went looking for that until she found it. And when she found it, she got all of her friends together. She rejoiced with them. And they rejoiced with her that she had found that thing that had been lost. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for that, those blind spots, those areas where she's blinded and can't see. God, that you're opening her brain, for her literal physical brain can see, her literal physical eyes can see. Her spiritual peripheral vision and her natural peripheral vision, God, is going to be so closely knit together, God, that she's going to know her surroundings in Jesus' name. She's going to know and be able to discern what's right and wrong because you're restoring that. You're recovering that part of her brain that has been blinded. God, we all have blind spots. Everybody has blind spots. And I see God having, like, Jesus passing by you, and like blind Bartimaeus crying out, you know, in Jesus, they tried to stop him. People have tried to stop you from crying out to God, just like they did blind Bartimaeus, but he just cried the louder. And I hear you crying the louder because you're crying out for the breath of God, not the breath of men. Not the breath, not the words that men give, the flattering of human lips, but the breath of God, the breath of God, the breath. That when you speak words, those words are spoken with, they have to have breath to them, or you can't speak without breath. And I thank you, Lord, that the breath of God, the glory of God, the words of God in her mind, God, beginning to shape her soul and shape her mind to think, God, at a higher level in Jesus' name, just by simply breathing into her brain the oxygenation of the Holy Ghost, or the breath of the words of God that breathe, that go into her soul and go through her blood vein, her venular system, whatever that is, and bring oxygen to every part of her brain, God, in Jesus' name, where she functions 100% in her brain, God, because of what you're breathing inside of her in Jesus' name. She's not going to come short of the glory. She's going to take possession of that glory that you've given her, God, in Jesus' name. She's going to run with it. I see you running. Some people can't run because they don't have enough oxygen in their brain to think fast enough to run. But I see you running they shall walk and not be weary. They shall run, walk and not faint, run and walk, whatever it is, run and not be weary. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I break that weariness off your brain, the blind spots that cause you to be weary because you can't seem to see beyond certain things in certain areas. Other areas you see really good. You really got some things happening, but God says, I'm opening up your peripheral vision. So you can see the things coming up on you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whether it's good, you know, the good things of God coming up on you, or the things that are trying to trip you up, you can see them coming. Amen. And get away from them before they mess you or conquer them or look them in the face, look them in the eye, like David did. He ran after Goliath. I see your brain coming alive where you run after. You don't run from, you run after. You go after that coin. You go after that coin that was lost. You go after it in Jesus' name. Because the breath of God says it's yours. Amen. Full recovery in Jesus' name. All right, 612-805, you want to talk to me from, please? Hang on, 612. Hang on. 612-805. Hang on, I can't hear. Okay, there. Hang on, one more time. One more time. Okay, there we go. 612-805.
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce and Blossom.
Hi, Joyce and Blossom. Good to have you guys tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. I thank you, Lord, for teaching Blossom how to think high, how to think high, how to think high, how to think high. Now think low, but think high. Think big. Think big, and live your life big with God. Live your life big, meaning live your life pure. Live your life in control of your life, not out of control. And teaching and showing how to live your life in control with God's power. Because when your brain is fed and nurtured, when your brain is nurtured with the right information, information feeds our brain. What are we feeding our brains? What are we feeding our children? What are we feeding it? What are our children learning from? Who's schooling them? What's their brain eating? Is it eating healthy food, healthy, good, God-fearing, God-loving, God-powered food, information, or are they hearing some low-level trash that has all the nutrients taken out of it, and it just doesn't really do anything for them? It all just fills their stomach. We just don't want ourselves and our children to be filled with a bunch of nothing. Let them be filled with the nutrition and the full information, the words that come from God, and not the trash words that come from the world, that flattery and emptiness. But to fill Blossom, God, fill Blossom with the full nutrition of the bread, God's bread. Has full nutritional information in it. It tells us to think on the highest levels. The highest level is keeping our body pure. The highest level is keeping our mind pure. The highest level is eating the right food to take care of ourselves. And we learn to do that when we're young. It's easy to do when we get older. And I thank you, Lord, that you're training her up to go in the right way, God. In Jesus' name, when she's older, she will not ever depart from it, God. That Blossom will never depart from it, God. We may veer here and there. But God, I thank you that she will never depart, never depart. It doesn't mean we don't get tempted and we get that. No, but it says we never depart, never depart. That Blossom will never depart from the high level of thinking, from the high quality of thinking, that she's going places big. She's going to big places. She's going to entertain. She's going to bless. She's going to amaze people with her high level thinking, with her high level living. Like I saw that movie about the tennis players. The guy who had his two daughters that became, you know, famous tennis players. And I saw that movie. It was really awesome in the life. And he taught his daughters at a high level. They knew they were great because their father told them they were great over and over and over again till being great didn't make them give them the big head. When people later said, oh, you're great, you're really great, they went, yeah, I know. It wasn't arrogant. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, yeah, I know. I've been hearing that all my life. And so when it came for people telling, and when they became great and people told them they were great, they went, yeah, I know. And it wasn't like, yeah, I know, like I'm some pompous, arrogant. No, it was like, That's just what they were raised on, that kind of food. They were raised on that kind of thinking. And I thank you, Jesus, for teaching them how to dwell in that place of high-level thinking, God, where Blossom learns how to think high level in Jesus' name. That when they say, from the telling her how great she is, she's going to go, yeah, I know. How did you become great? Well, we love Jesus. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus and my mama too. Yeah. So we thank you, Lord, for that high-level thinking, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Some people, they live with poor thinking all their life, and one of these days they have some major breakthrough, and they get all of a sudden they're well-known and they're great. And it goes to their head because they weren't taught it all their life. They weren't used to it. To them all their life, and you show it to them all their life. God, I thank you for showing Joyce ways to raise her child at the highest level, God, to give her the highest level thinking, and praising her, correcting, shaking her, making her think at the highest level, God, of your word in Jesus' name, where she will walk into it. It will become easy for her. Why? Because mama prepared the way. Mom prepared the way. Mom prepared the way. God uses people to prepare. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. And if he hadn't come, the way would not have been prepared. Thank you for Joyce preparing the way, God, in Jesus' name. Preparing the way. Making a way where there seems to be, where the things that are impossible for Blossom, they will become totally possible. Why? Because mom challenged and provoked and disciplined and brought forth and blessed and trained at high level in Jesus' name. Let that be done, God. Hallelujah. All right. All right. 225-454. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right. 225. Who am I talking to you from?
Hi, this is Karen in Louisiana.
Hi, Karen. Oh, hi, Karen. Good to have you. I think you texted me today. Good to have you, Karen. Thank you, Jesus, for Karen. God, we praying today for, I know Karen sent me a text earlier. God, we thank you, Jesus. And, yes, hang on a second here. Let me get you some more water. Hang on just a second. All right, Karen, thank you for being patient there. Thank you. Thank you, Karen, tonight, God. I thank you for us for breathing the breath of life. God, the breath of life and every vacuum that she has in her life, God, everything that's not functioning properly, that's not humming along, that's not in harmony. God, I thank you, God, for I speak harmony into her life. I speak harmony into her family, God. I thank you, God, that you want her life to hum along like a cat purring with happiness and joy and safety and being satisfied. I thank you, Jesus, for speaking deep satisfaction into Karen's life, God. She will so walk in the anointing of the oil of God Almighty that, God, that her life will be oiled like a well-oiled engine. Like when you don't have oil in your motor, it starts getting hot, starts burning up, starts, you know, not working right, doesn't function right, starts smoking, starts doing all kinds of things. But, Lord, when you have it highly oiled and taken care of, God, I thank you, Jesus, for that, that her life, that her family, that her belief system, God, comes from the high-level thinking of Almighty God, that even in her own human brain, God, that I speak over her human brain, God, any part of her brain that's like the rest of us, that's not fully activated, God, I thank you for 100% full activation of her brain. Breathe down into the deep parts of her brain, God, that are just barely functioning, like all of us, where we use 10% of our brain, maybe. God, you want it to go into the 20, 30, 60 fold, 30, 60 fold, and 100 fold. I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the measures that God, everything she do, she will do in measures, not in amounts, but in measures, like the woman who gave her two mice. You know, she was given in measure, not in an amount, because the amount was nothing as far as very little, but the measure, because it was from her and it was a large measure, it was her living that she was giving. It was her living that she was giving. She gave her whole life was giving out of her living. And she served and loved. And I thank you, Lord, for that loving, caring, serving part of Karen, God, that will bring full, total, 100% life, God, as her brain begins to be activated, as her brain, the parts of our soul where we get victory is when our brain, our physical, literal brain begins to be activated. That's what true, total restoration is that our physical brain goes from death to life, goes from 10%, which most people think we use 10%, you're doing really good, to how low our thinking is. We're thinking at 10% level. Jesus thought at 100% level. In Matthew 13, he talks about the sower sowed the seed. He talks about the interpretation of that was that their understanding. They understood 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. Jesus said, this is what I come in the earth to do, is to bring that level of understanding. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let her breathe. When she breathes in the glory of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But that anointing in her life, God, is coming forth, not just getting in her spirit and in her body, but getting in her soul and in her physical brain, in her physical heart, or her physical body, her physical brain, her physical heart, her physical vessels, and every part of her system, God, in her body. In Jesus' name, come to life and flow fully, vibrate like a cat purring from total satisfaction and harmony in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just purring along 100-fold, purring up. When every part of our brain begins to function, that means every part of our body begins to function. Our heart, our nerves, and our brain speak to our heart, our physical heart. Hallelujah. I speak to her nervous system, God, that her nervous system will walk in the glory of God. Her brain system will walk in the glory of God. Her physical, literal brain, her physical, literal heart, her physical, literal muscles and nerves, every part of her being, God, come to life in Jesus' name. Live and not die, and declare the glory of God, Karen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. High-level anointing, not just a little bit of anointing, high-level. Elisha said he wanted the double of Elijah. He believed big. He didn't just get, oh, man, if I can just get what he's got, I'll be like, man, if I can walk in him. Elijah, everybody thinks Elijah's the most powerful man. And here I'm asking double. And even Elijah said, man, you asked for a hard thing. Ask for the hard thing. Ask for the hard thing, Karen. Ask for the double. I know it seems like, oh, man, if I could just walk in his anointing, that would be amazing. If he could have just had his anointing, that would have been amazing. But no, he wanted double. Hallelujah. Double her in Jesus' name. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, my name is Angela, South Carolina.
Angela, glad we caught you alive and well and doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hang on a second. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for thank you, Lord. All right. Let's see, where am I going? Angela. Okay. I just got a prayer request here. Pray. Nicole says, can you pray for my mom, Alice Teresa's brain? Yes, you know. Wow, God, she goes. Yeah. All right, Nicole, I don't know if you're listening or not, but at least it'll be recorded. It's recorded at 11:30, right? At 11:30? Can't be. Oh, my God, it's 11:30. All right, at 11:30, I'm praying over your mom, Alice, and I'm praying over her brain in Jesus' name. God, I just thank you for Alice's brain, and I bring my sister, Angela, into this prayer too. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray over her mom's brain, in Jesus' name, Teresa's brain, Alice Teresa's. Yes, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord. Father, I declare and decree right now that if the cry in Alice's heart, God, in Jesus' name, the cry in her heart, God, in her brain, that her brain would come alive. In Jesus' name, I command every sleeping spirit, every spirit of sleep to come out of her now. I never heard of that before. Any spirit of sleeping, Jesus said, he awakes them from sleep. Lord, I thank you that you awake Alice Teresa's brain from sleep. In Jesus' name, that she realizes that she can trust God. She realizes God can provide for her. She realizes that she doesn't need all that. In Jesus' name, God, I command her brain to come alive right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, arise. Jesus said, he's sleeping. Man, he was going to raise him from the dead. He was dead. We thank you, Lord, her brain is sleeping. We command those dead parts of her brain, those sleeping parts of her brain that are not functioning. If they're not functioning, they're like laying by the river, laying by when the waters were stirred. And when the waters were stirred, every time she tried to get up, and I thank you, Lord, that every time Alice tries to get up and get something done, God, it's like somebody gets before her. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you break that spirit of unbelief off of her right now. In the name of Jesus, I cast it down. I cast it out, the breath of life to her right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. For Angela, God, we thank you for Angela, God, in Jesus' name. That, Father, I thank you, Lord, that she will realize that she's the sheep of his, she's the sheep of the shepherd. The shepherd is Jesus Christ, and that she sees herself as a sheep. When you see yourself as a sheep, that's a good thing, because you see yourself as a person who can't do anything without him, but with him all things are possible. And I see God really doing something in your brain coming alive in that level of thinking like I'm a sheep. Like Jesus said, you know, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. The sheep can do nothing except what they see their shepherd do. They can do nothing except what they see their shepherd do. And I thank you, Jesus, that part of her brain, God, as you say, that part of her brain that goes, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. She's like a sheep with a shepherd, not a sheep without a shepherd, but a sheep with a shepherd. And with a shepherd, she can be led and guided, that God, you are going to lead her and guide her into places that she never dreamed. Just like you did Joseph. You led and guided Joseph into a place of great pain and great rejection, that kind of thing, led him into a place of great success, even though the whole time he didn't know he was being led, in the time of doing without, in the time of being in that dungeon, in the time of being in that prison, that he didn't even know it, but he was being led the whole time. God, I thank you that you're showing Angela, God, that you're leading her, you're guiding her, Father, in Jesus' name, and that you're training her for high-level things, God. You're training her for great success. In the name of Jesus, she will start thinking, yeah. Because, see, the thing is, it's not about how smart we are. It's about how much of our brain we're using. That's really it. It's about how much of our brain are we using. If you had two or three people in the world, in the globe, like Jesus, who used 100% of the brain, Angela, that right there, you can raise the dead, heal the sick with the anointing. Because when you got a full brain functioning with the anointing, you bring full healing. When you got a full brain functioning with the anointing, you bring full deliverance. When you got a full brain functioning with the full anointing, you can receive the full anointing. You can walk in that full anointing. You can live in that full anointing. You can bring everything in the natural realm to a place of healing and wherever God wants it to be, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's like, I'm not smart enough. Well, I see God changing you, showing you that it's not about, I'm not smart enough to do that big of a thing. I'm not smart enough to follow God 100%. I can do it pretty good. I'm pretty good at it. But I want to. No, God says, I want you to walk and meet with me 100%, 100-fold. And the only way that's going to happen is if 100% of your brain is functioning. It's not about how smart I am compared to other people. It's about how much of my brain I'm using. Amen. How much of my brain? When you use 20% of your brain, other people using 10%, they could be college graduates. They could be smart people. They could be all these things. But when you're using 20% of your brain and they're using full 10% of theirs and you're using full 20% of yours, you are going to exceed above them in everything. So it's not about how smart you are or not smart you are. It's about how your brain is functioning and using 100% of your brain. Amen. And that's the way God wants you to start looking at it. Not about how short I come of being like this and like that and whatever. There is no shortcoming because the shortcoming is in the brain. Is in the brain. We have the full glory of God in our life. What are we lacking in? Our brain. Our brain. And God's going to open our brain. He's going to show. He's going to get our brain fully loaded, Holy Ghost oxygen, and bring our brain to life in Jesus' name, so we can fully think. You know, and we'll be thinking with 20. We can barely even have to work at something. It's going to be so easy, and we're going to be exceeding highly intellectual geniuses. We're going to be exceeding them without even hardly breaking a sweat. Why? Not because we're smarter than them. No, because we're using. God is activating, you know, our brains, more of our brains. So we use the full use of our brain. And that's what God wants to focus on. And yes, there's different paths to that. That's eating healthy, that's having the right things going in your blood. But if your blood is getting all the things that it needs, but it's not reaching those areas of your brain, then we got to find a way to do that. And I have that way. I've found that way. I'm already finding with what I've been doing that my brain at times, not all the time, not every time, is humming like a, I explain it to people, and this is just happening recently, the last few weeks, that I said my brain is purring like a kitty cat. Literally, that's what I said. So I've never had this in my life. I don't understand this. This has never happened to me. I feel like my brain is, there's a lot more I'm going to say about that, but it's just so it's not just eating right, it's getting our eating right, all our minerals and our proteins, all of our stuff into every part of our brain. How are we going to do that? It's not just a spiritual thing, it is a physical thing. And God has given us those ideas, and I'm literally working them, and it's literally working. I'm developing it, and it's taking some time, but it's amazing, and I feel like you're going to be a part of all that. So get ready. All right. 478-262, can I talk to you from, please?
Hello, this is Regina from Georgia. How are you?
Hi, Regina. Doing good. All right, Regina from Georgia. Good to have you. All right, my friend Regina from Georgia. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. God, I thank you for the activations of her faith. God, she's going to find that her faith has been asleep, and she thought, you know, areas of her faith. I didn't know I had that much faith. God, I thank you because faith is from relationship with Jesus. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, it's like what we believe because we see Jesus, not because we just read a book, you know, his word, not just because we read the written word, but we're like the woman who said, you know, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" I get this thing about the woman with the issue of blood for you tonight. Jesus turns around and he says, "Who touched me? Whoa, who touched me?" That's what he's saying. And of course, we sing that song about it. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. But you know what? Regina, when that woman touched Jesus, he turned around to her, because I don't think she thinks she had much faith. I'm not sure she identified what she was doing with faith. I think she just did it out of desperation. But what Jesus did, Regina, is he connected her desperation, that's one of the ways God loosened her faith, and she acted on faith. In Jesus' name, not even knowing that it was faith. She wasn't thinking, "I've got lots of faith." She was just thinking, "I'm desperate, and watch this, and I'm looking to Jesus, not to the law, not to even the written word, because the written word is about him, right? But when that written word comes alive, it's all about him as a person. It's the person of Jesus, Regina. I see God opening you up. And when you see the person, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, it's just about him. It's not about, it's about him. Everything, the word of God is about him. And God opening our eyes to show us that the word is about him. The spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, Regina. It's all about Jesus. We start, our faith is not activated by acting upon words, upon the word. And is a person. His name is Jesus. And God transferring your faith at a higher level, at a higher place, where you don't even realize your desperation drove you to do what you did. You don't even connect it with faith. You look back and go, Jesus says, thy faith has made thee. Jesus connected what she did in her desperation with her faith, that it was her faith. It wasn't just you're a poor, desperate woman who you just broke through the crowd to get me. No, he says, she's just thinking, I'm just desperate, Jesus. That's why I'm here. He says, no, your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let it open up in Jesus' name. All right, 951-966. Can we talk to Refrain, please? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Yeah. All right, 951. Here, hang on a second. All right, there we are. 966. Can we talk to Refrain, please?
This is Regina from California.
All right, Regina. It's early, and y'all, it's only like, 9 o'clock? 942? Woo! Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Ha, ha. It's like when I'm doing it, ha, ha, right now on you. Like, this is what I'm doing. It's like, first I thought I was going to be like doing this fake laugh thing or something, like God was wanting to do. But I realized it was breathing the rock. Ha, ha. Now the breath of God, the breath of God, the breath of God, the breath of God. Hallelujah. I see God refreshing your brain. Tonight we're ministering to people just about the brain. For some reason, this is what God chose to do. So we thank you, Jesus, that he's going to get us focused on a different thing than just start feeding our soul with the Word of God and, trying to walk out our faith. But it's about one thing. It's about our brain coming alive. It's about our brains, not just one little part of our brain that we've used and learned and taught and we've, read and studied and become smart in one little area. But he's talking about taking that one little area that you've learned in and making it expand into every area of your brain. Like those areas that you've focused on and you've learned much and you've been taught much and you've learned, you've absorbed information, and now you serve with that. He's going to take that little bit, like that grain of mustard, the grain of mustard seed, and that little bitty thing, and he's going to take everything you've learned and done and expand it into every area. Where you've learned about natural things, he's going to take the natural thing, he's going to add to it the spiritual things. Where everything you've learned in your life about what the things you've learned about, whether it's about being a mama, whether it's about being your job, your business, what you do in life, and kind of take those things that you focus on that uses up a small percentage of your brain, and he's going to expand it into every area of your brain. Hallelujah. I see, and I'm just going to tell you what I see. You can take it however you want, but I see like this one little area of your brain, like it's so little, but it's powerful, like a grain of mustard seed, but it's going to take over like a tree. Like I see these vines. I see vines, vines go and they just kind of like wrap themselves around stuff and grow and become part of something. Like I see these vines, like they're in your brain. And this one little thing in the area of your life that you focus on learning and growing, and you have that, it's like I see that little mustard seed thing growing into this huge tree, but it's taking over your brain and it's growing through your brain, and that calling, that little bitty part of your calling in life, that what you do to help and save and bless people and take care of people and do what you do, that part of you is going to manifest in ways that you're going to do it in the spirit realm. You're going to do it with anointing, not just with physical care. You're going to do the physical care of taking care and loving and blessing, you know, family and nurturing and back to health people, but nurturing people back to health with, oh, thus saith the Lord, in the name of Jesus be healed. Amen. And even though you may be over there massaging their neck or whatever, and trying to get, you know, the blood flowing to their neck, but if you say in the name of Jesus, that physical therapy thing that you know how to do or whatever it is that I'm just talking, turns into this anointing that whatever you're rubbing and messing with and trying to, you know, help and release the pain, all of a sudden the anointing goes to those same fingers and begins to heal. So it's like the physical natural realm that you've learned and grown, and it comes over and begins to take over in the spiritual realm, where it becomes an anointing from God, where you don't just touch the physical part of a person, but you touch them spiritually with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that part of your branching out into every part of your brain, where everything you do, everything you think, every you know, your finances, the way you think, the high level that you're thinking, in Jesus' name, it's going to bring health and wholeness to every part of your life, health and wholeness to your finances, health and wholeness to your family, health and wholeness to you, health and wholeness, and it's going to take over your whole brain, where you think so high, so high. My thoughts are his thoughts are higher than ours until they become ours. Right? They're higher than ours until he gives them to us, until he tells us what he's thinking. That's what having your brain engrafted with the Word of God is the thoughts of God. That's what it's all is. It's the thoughts of God. And I thank you, Lord, for engrafting in her, God, that ability for her to engraft words and information into people to bring not just physical blessing and healing and touch, but spiritual touch of Jesus, where you will be saying to these people that you touch in your life, whether your children, your love, whatever it is, your business in life, they're going to be saying, "No, she touched me." And you're going to be saying, "Yeah, he sure did. He touched you through me and be made whole." Yeah. Something happened when Regina touched me. He touched me through Regina. Yes, he did. And so, and I'm talking about, like, you know, to give people courage, to give people faith, to give people hope. Hallelujah. Where every area of her life, God, you're going to nurture and care and heal. Amen. In Jesus' name. It's going to be like a big, you know, mustard seed tree turns out to be huge and big. And I thank you, Lord, because it's taking over your brain. Your brain has this desire to heal and help and make whole. And it's not just going to be the physical, it's going to be every area, in Jesus' name. Like it happened with Joseph. It's really what happened with Joseph. He went to think of growing crops, to where he ended up thinking he was going to grow crops and have the best crops among his brothers, to where he ended up keeping the crops, 1% of them, and he stored up all these crops and the natural, and saved people's lives, in Jesus' name. And what he thought he was going to do was growing crops, ended up being into another dimension. It took over his whole life to where he ended up saving people by food. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but all right, 754-255, you want to talk to her from, please? 754-255? 754-255, are you there? Uh-huh. All right. Go here. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for my brother, my sister, whoever this is, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya, and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening up there. You've been working on their faith, God, breaking them through the traditional way of believing for God to do things the traditional way, and bring them into the non-traditional way, to the way of unlimitedness, of unilateral unlimited possession of faith, God, to how to release their faith, not just to have it, but how to use it. Because a lot of people have faith, but they don't know how to use it. Some people have a tool. Some people can take a saw and they could cut a couple of boards or something, but they don't know how to do it to turn it into all different ways to cut things, and take it from cutting one little thing to cutting 100 different things. Because you're taking their faith, God, and teaching them how to use their faith, to activate their faith. It's not about how much faith you've got, it's how you learn to activate it, learning how to activate your faith. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing them ways how to activate their faith, Father, and opening up that personally, where they will personally know how to activate, how to stir up each other's faith, in Jesus' name, and how to activate their faith. I just have faith. Oh, I got a lot of faith. Oh, so what? Everybody's been given a measure of faith, but it's what you do with that faith. It's God giving you creative ways on how to activate your faith. So you use the full measure of your faith, because it's all about measure. It's about the measure of it. Not how much faith you have. It's the measure of faith that you use. And I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for that full activation, God, of their faith in you, Jesus, where they're going to be known as people who learn to use their faith to the fullest. And because they did that, it activates the fullest blessing in Jesus' name, where they live full lives, the fullness of God, not the halfness of God, but the fullness of God in Jesus' name comes forth in their life in Jesus' name, because you've been training them and they're suffering and their struggles and their stuff, how to look beyond what human beings can do and limitations of man into the unlimitedness of God. In Jesus' name, and that's been training their faith, how to be exercising, all these creative ways how to do it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, 202-760, I'm going to talk to you from, please. Hang on a second. Here we go, there we go. 202.
Robbie, called out of Maryland.
All right, Robbie. Hi, Robbie, thanks for calling us tonight. Thank you, Robbie, from Maryland. Thank you, Jesus, for Robbie. Father, I thank you, Father, for restoring the old paths, in Jesus' name, the old paths. You know, when we talk about the old paths, we're talking about really that not some old worn out thing, but we talk about the old paths, the paths of righteousness, the paths of the apostles that have gone before us, that we walk in what the apostles have walked in, and we walk in the faith of the apostles of the old paths. The Bible talks about, in the Old Testament, talks about restoring the paths of the, you know, the restoring and the paths of the old. In other words, walking in the glory of God, not in some new trend thing, not in trends, but in solid, you know, relationship with God, and solid word from God, like real prophets, not some, you know, bunch of prophesiers necessarily, but just real prophets, real apostles, real men of God. They just rawly trusted God. They just trusted God in a raw fashion. There wasn't fancy about it. It was like the old path, the old men of God. They knew how to trust God. They knew how to believe God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Robbie how to walk in those paths, God, in the name of, not some trendy new thing, but in the things of God and the ways of God and the activation of what has been, you know, like the word of God has been around for 2,000 years and longer, actually, longer than that. But that old word becoming new in Jesus' name, and giving him a new path, giving my brother Robbie a new path to walk in, Jesus, from the old paths of the prophets and the apostles and those who walked with Jesus when there was very little that they saw. They just kept walking with God, and because of that, they were rewarded very highly. God, the rewards for Robbie in Jesus' name is you're activating his brain, getting this brain activated here. It's not just his soul, not just spiritual things, but his physical, actual brain come into life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, 330-661. Who am I talking to from, please? All right, 330-661, are you there? Okay. Hang on a second. All right. Thank you, Lord, for 330-661. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for the power of your spirit, God, for developing and crushing the enemy, developing the faith of how to crush, how to destroy, instead of just, you know, tie them up and hope they don't, you know, get untied, but to crush things, how to crush, how to literally... you know, the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. I thank you, Lord, for showing my friends how to destroy the yoke in Jesus' name, and not just how to piddle paddle with it and play around with it. But God, I thank you in Jesus' name for opening that place of dominion, that place of authority, where we crush the enemy. We crush those thoughts. We don't go back and forth. We don't just go for the fruit. We go for the roots. We deal with the root of things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And God, you're causing my friend's faith, Father, in Jesus' name, to activate in the timing of the Lord, in the seasons of God, where he's not fighting, where they're not fighting, where my friend is not fighting the systems of God, but is coming into agreement with the ways of God. And when you work within the ways of God, you find yourself in being carried by the wave, by the wave of God, where God's wave carries you like a river, getting in a river and let the river carry you. Getting in a wave and letting the wave carry you. And Jesus' name, because you're in the ways of God, the wave of God carries you in Jesus' name. And it's effortless. It becomes easy. It becomes learning how to relax and just let God guide you and lead you. And just when he says turn to the right, you just turn to the right and let the wind blow you. Let the wave carry you in Jesus' name. How the rudder of your tongue that's tied to your heart. In Jesus' name, that you would learn how to form and shape those words prophetically and how to speak those things in Jesus' name to bring life in Jesus' name through the word, Spirit of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to you from, please? Okay, in a second. There we go. There we are, 402-650. Hang on a second here. Just a minute. 402. All right, thank you, Jesus, 402. We thank you, Lord, for the manifestations, God, and in Jesus' name you're massaging their heart, God, to get their heart, God, back to functioning, you know, in the fullness of pumping the blood through their life, where the blood of Jesus flows through their life, every area of their life, not just one or two parts, not just the spiritual parts, but to the physical parts, God, that you join the physical and the spiritual blood and the physical blood, God, that you realize how the life is in the blood. How that blood needs to get to every part of our body in Jesus' name. And the parts of our body that it's not getting blood dries up, doesn't function right, doesn't work right. And I thank you, Jesus, right now for that. And for I thank you for opening my friend up in Jesus' name and sharing that the spiritual blood without the physical blood, they all work together. You know, the life is in the blood literally, the life is in the blood spiritually. And I thank you, Lord, for showing that thing about the blood, how to partake of the blood, how to walk in the blood, how to get the blood to flow to every part of your life, just like we get the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus to flow to every part of our life, not just to one or two parts, but to every part, where we're cleansed and made whole. I thank you, Lord, that we're cleansed and made whole in the physical realm, in our blood being cleansed in Jesus' name, and being made whole in the name of Jesus, all the way functioning to our brain, where our brain functions 100% in the name of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus and the blood, the physical blood, flowing through it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 334-590.
Hello?
Yes. 334-590. Who am I talking to, from, please?
Hi, it's Jayla.
Oh, hey, Jayla. All right, Jayla, good to have you tonight. All right, Jayla. I think she's from, I can't remember where she's from. Not Georgia, I don't remember. But, okay, there we go. Jayla, thank you for being with us. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jayla. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing on Jayla, God, that sometimes when we struggle with certain things because our brain is not functioning all in harmony. And I thank you, Lord, that one part of our brain's working, the other part of our brain stopped up. So we got kind of a lopsided, got a bunch of weight on the right side of our brain weighing down because we can't seem to get that heaviness out. And our other side of our brain's okay. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to get the heaviness out of her brain. God, in Jesus' name, where her brain is not stopped up with that heavy thinking, those heavy thoughts. But God, in Jesus' name, you're loosening her, that the oil of your anointing, God, is breaking free. God, not just the spiritual parts of her brain, God, but loosening her electrodes and all those things that cause the energy to pour out of her. They don't get stopped up with anxiety and stress, God, but I release her brain to begin to be released, where it lets go of the anxiety, lets go of the stress, lets go of the fear, lets go of those things, where it flows out of her body. Nothing wrong with caring, but when the caring doesn't get cast out unto the Lord, it gets stuck there, and we start caring too much, and then we're caring caring about everything too much, and we find ourselves freaking out and having, those freak-out moments. And I thank you, Jesus, part of our brain. In the name of Jesus, and those memories, God, and those fears, those hidden things, God, in Jesus' name, the things that we can't even seem to look into and face, God, I thank you for the faith you've given her, Father, walking through the valleys of her life, God, to get her, to renew her faith, to know that you are with her, Jesus. You are with her. You are showing her. You are opening her up. She didn't have to fear evil, Father, because you are with her. And that's the main thing that God is teaching you, is that you don't have to fear anything, because I'm with you. And God, I thank you for the part of her that knows that you're with her is going to exceed the parts of her that doesn't know, that questions it, in Jesus' name, that actually activates it. And in the physical realm, where her brain, or not just her soul who knows you are with her, but her physical brain will understand and know that beginning the ability to think straight and to think clear, knowing your physical brain, knowing and thinking clearly, knowing that God is for you and on your side. And Jesus, he will never leave you and forsake you. He's always with you, even in your physical arena, in your brain, not just spiritual, but the spiritual and the physical meeting together and agreeing together. Yes, God is with me in the physical. He's with me in the spiritual. They are together. The harmony of all that causes me to let go of my anxiety and stress. And Jesus, I just let go of it. I cast my cares upon you, Jesus, for you care for me, God. You care for me. I know it's not just a spiritual thing, but her brain is able to receive that. I care for you. I care for you. I care for you. I'm with you. You don't have to fear anything. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be done. 5-3, can I talk to your friend, please? Hang on a second. Here we go.
Hi, Dr. Randy. It's Barbara. Hi, I want you to pray for my brain. Thank you.
Yes. We're doing brain stuff tonight, right? Okay. I love that, yeah. That's what I'm doing with mine. I'm working double time on mine. And in a way, soon I'll be able to talk more about it, but literally I'm like a scientist at heart, and so I take God's word, and I do things, discoveries, and I look into things, and I – God speaks to me supernaturally about things in the brain. And I thank you, Lord, for all the effects that, like, you know, we have medications and painkillers all of our life and all the things we've had to take and, you know, all the surgeries and all the things that men have done and touched us. Lord, I thank you that, that barber's going to be like the woman with the issue of blood where, you know, all the doctors, all the things. But Jesus, when she touched Jesus, she touched him first. And because she touched him like nobody else touched him, he turned around with a crowd on him and about to, you know, trample him. I mean, it was so many people. He was overwhelmed with people touching him and pulling on him. But he, when he felt the power go out of him, he knew that one little woman, you know, says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And I love that song we're singing tonight. Who touched me? Oh, who touched me? And oh, the oil that flowed out of my body. Who are you? Where are you? Make yourself known so I can see. Yeah, and so she says, yeah, and I did touch you. I touched you, Lord. It's like she knew when she touched him, Barbara, that that was against the law, the laws of man, the laws, even the laws that God had made to keep cleanliness there. But there's different laws of God. There's a law of faith, and there's the law of God. And I thank you, Lord, that she, by the laws of faith, it went beyond the rules of man, the regulations of man, which are good and healthy. Sometimes it's good and healthy to have unclean people touch you. If you're a natural human being and you don't have any faith and you're living by a natural realm, you don't want unclean people touching you with leprosy and all kinds of things and diseases and sickness make you unclean. But in God, thank you, Jesus, that Barbara's touching you tonight, that her brain is believing you, God, her brain and all the things that have gone through her brain from doctor stuff and medical stuff and all the things, God, that you're cleansing and washing and feeding and restoring her brain, Jesus. Hallelujah. By your precious blood, that your blood, when the blood goes through our body, it brings oxygen. So when the blood of Jesus goes through our brain, it brings the oxygenation of heaven, not just the oxygen of men, that brings your natural body to life. To a certain degree, but the natural, but the spiritual, the breath of God, the oxygenation that comes with the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, that flows through your being. Like now, I declare and decree that flow through your physical brain. Every blood vessel in your brain receive the breath and the blood of Jesus and the oxygenation to bring to life, to give life. When somebody gives somebody CPR, you literally open their mouth. I used to be an EMT. You open, literally have their mouth open, and you pop their head back a little bit, and you breathe breath. You breathe life in them to get them going again. And I thank you, Jesus, that because they don't, their brain, with their brain damage, and it's no good. That's the whole thing about giving them oxygen. You want their brain to stay alive so their brain can function, so their brain can tell their body to breathe. Their body can function because their brain's functioning. And I think that's what the oxygen is. Once that oxygen starts flowing through, in the name of Jesus, Lord, every time that whatever's gone into her brain has not been the oxygen from heaven through the blood of Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus, to the blood of Jesus that brings the oxygenation of the glory of God through her every blood vessel in her brain, God, to cleanse and wash and anything that man has put in that for medical purposes, God, that you restore her brain, God. 100% in the name of Jesus, that parts of her brain that are barely functioning, just like mine and everybody else's, because it gets a little bit of barely enough oxygen to stay alive, God, that you bring it to life fully in Jesus' name. Bring her brain, God, to life. I command the blood to flow into the depths and the crevices of her brain, God, in the name of Jesus, even in the natural realm, where her brain will begin to open up and draw the blood. Not just barely functioning and barely getting enough blood to keep it alive, but to cause it to come to life and function 100% in the name of Jesus. Let it be done right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Life, life, life. Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. When life's in the blood and the blood's going through the brain comes alive in Jesus' name and thinks clearly, believes clearly, knows God clearly. not cloudy. We know him, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. All right, 912-246. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy.
Hey, Angela Joy. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, Angela Joy. Thank you, Jesus, from Georgia. Thank you, God, for Angela, God. I know when we get over 50, the thing is they talk about, when you get 80, 90, they call it Alzheimer's, but really all it is that our blood's not flowing. That's what I call it. I start changing this thing. People get Alzheimer's, I go like, well, probably they're just probably sitting around doing nothing. There's no blood flowing to their brain. That's why they tell you to keep exercise and all that kind of thing. And that's important. But I thank you, Jesus, for my friend Angela, God, that she rests in faith, because the constriction of your blood vessels is what keeps the blood from flowing through freely and openly. And so when your blood vessel, when you're relaxed and the stress and the pressure is off, your blood vessels open up, and it causes your brain and your body to fully flow with the blood and get fully, the full amount, the full measure, the full life. The 100%, because the more constricted your blood vessels are, your veins are, the lesser level, like 20% of what you get, what you need, instead of opening up your blood vessels all the way, well, they relax and get 100% of the blood flow, and not just get 20% of what you need, but 100%, God, I declare and decree that every blood vessel in her brain, God, in her body, as it begins to relax, and I speak peace over her brain, peace over her brain, peace over her soul. When your soul's at rest, that means your brain is at rest. When your brain's at rest, then all of a sudden the blood that used to flow 20% is now flowing 100%. Why? Because your blood vessels are opening up and allowing it to flow. It's just like taking a shower with barely a trickle of water coming out. And then all of a sudden you get the pipes cleaned out. And wow, it's like, whoa, turn that thing down because it's too high. It's just so powerful. It's hurting my skin. I've literally seen that, and I thank you, Jesus, for her blood vessels, every vein in her head, God, in her literal physical brain, God, they begin to relax. I speak peace. I speak blessing. I speak rest in the name of Jesus, that she will relax and rest, and her blood, those veins will open up and relax and let 100% of the nutrition and the vitality and the oxygenation of God, of this natural realm, God, of oxygen also, and that the natural oxygen and this glory oxygen that comes from heaven, that when you breathe into somebody, it causes them to go from, if they had just given them a good oxygen shot of oxygen, they would have been felt better and would have been good. You give them that same shot of oxygen from heaven, from the glory realm, from the breath of God, it doesn't just like make them feel okay and good and feel alive again. No, it brings them to life. Now they've got so much energy they can't already sit still. They got so much energy they can run around the building. They got so much energy they can, that energy, God, that a level of energy for Angela Joy, God, in Jesus' name, comes from the full nurturing, the entering to the rest of God, letting God nurture you by resting in him, and also your physical body, your physical brain, all the blood vessels also rest and let that blood flow to bring full nutrition. In Jesus' name, and oxygenation bringing life, so your every part of your brain can breathe, every part of your brain can function. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, God, the glory of God in her brain. Let the glory of God's breath breathe inside of her, God, in Jesus' name, and do what some pure, beautiful, wonderful oxygen in the natural realm could never do. That in seconds can bring something, neurons and cellular, the cellular realm to life again, God, in Jesus' name, where we can think clearly, where we can get down and discouraged. When your brain is fully functioning, it takes a lot to get you down. In fact, you can't really be gotten down for long. Jesus' brain flowed. He lived in rest and peace, and his blood vessels flowed completely through his brain all the way. It wasn't just spiritual. It wasn't just a spiritual thing. It was a natural thing. His brain flowed 100%, so he could think clearly in his head when it came to, even giving his physical blood away and putting the crown of thorns on his brain, on his head, and that all was just not just a spiritual thing, but it was a physical thing. He gave his physical blood, which also gets into our being and causes our physical blood to be healthy, but it's also his spiritual blood, of course, that cleanses us and washes us and keeps us from constricted lifestyle where we only live in a small percent because our blood vessels, our spiritual blood vessels only allow a certain amount of life to come through it. Decree and declare in Jesus' name 100-fold rest and peace in God. That 100% of the nutrition and the glory of God flow through her brain, God, and her body and bring her body to life. That her nervous system will begin to function and flow and vibrate with peace like a kitty cat, purring like a kitty cat. And her brain purring like a kitty cat in peace and safety in Jesus' name, and cause her whole body to purr like a kitty cat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that's a strange way to use that. But in Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. The harmony, every part of her brain working in harmony, not just for her emotional needs, but for her physical needs too, God, in Jesus' name, to bring everything back to life. The brain opens the doors even for the life of God to come in. That's why the soul is renewed, because it opens up our soul, but our soul opens up our physical brain. Our soul gets opened up, it opens up our physical brain, so that our physical brain will literally function like our soul functions. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 940-210, who am I talking to you from, please? There we go. 940.
Michael from Texas. I just want this prayer. I thought I was in a God ordained relationship with a woman, but I was plagued, and I'm just
kind of messed up over it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I got you, bro. I'm sorry to hear that. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael, God, that I know that what that does to your brain, what it does to your mind, you know, and so it causes you to, to stress and turn inward and blame yourself and blame, you know, whatever. But thank you, Jesus, that he will turn the blame game into who did what or who didn't do what and give it over to Jesus, God, to where he will truly deal with this process, you know, completely. And I thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, we come together in Jesus' name for Michael, Father, that we will lay this at the feet of Jesus, Father, before it creates problems, before it creates bigger problems and more problems. Lord, we lay it at the feet of Jesus, Father, where his brain is able to process information. His brain is able to relax and not stress, because stress is constricting blood vessels, where the blood it doesn't allow food and nutrition to come through it. So it makes it because when our soul is stressing, our literal physical brain is stressing. And I thank you, Jesus, right now for his brain, for his soul. I speak peace to his soul in Jesus' name. That the peace to his soul, God, will keep his brain from stressing the blood vessels and causing more anxiety, because when you got less blood flowing through, you feel worse. You feel like you feel low. You feel less than. Just like you have less blood flowing through your body and nurturing your body, you feel just like you feel that less blood flows through it because the constriction of the blood vessels, the less you feel about yourself, the less you feel, the less you're thinking clearly in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for opening that. I speak peace to him, God. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I speak the blood, I speak peace of God over my brother tonight, God, for this relationship, God, and the things he was being used and all that, God, that he will, take responsibility for what he takes first responsibility and put responsibility, you know, and cast care of this person on Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that so that he won't become bitter and resentful, God, but he will become, he will come to another level of learning about how to trust God, learning how to, you know, not jump into things too quickly, take it little by little, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you, as you walk through this valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, God. In Jesus' name, they will fear, you will fear no fear of failure, no fear of, you know, recovery, that you will recover 100%, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving him courage, God, to face what he needs to face, God, to put, to squarely put the responsibility on whoever, and Jesus take responsibility for himself, but also, you know that how he was used, how he was abused. And thank you, Jesus, that for whatever reason that he was not able to see that coming and work through that, to give him grace and mercy, God, and show him, teach him from this, God, how to look and see and recognize things when they're coming, when they're not healthy, when they're not whole. He will recognize that and not eat that and not partake of that. But Jesus, he will learn how to walk away from it, learn how to get his nurturing from you, Jesus, and show him how to walk in your mercy and your grace and your compassion, God. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness, God, that he will forgive himself in the name of Jesus, that he is blessed, that you have favored him, God. In Jesus' name, that you're forgiving him and loving him, Jesus, right now. In the name of the Lord, the blood of Jesus, wash away sin, wash away unrighteousness, wash away thoughts that seem to try to plague him, God, and break him down into a nobody, God, to strip him of his humanity, of his manliness, God, that you will reveal him, God, that you are, Jesus, you are the real man, and you know what a man is really like, what a man is supposed to be, God, you will show him that, Father, so he will not try to get his manlihood from women, but he will get his manlihood from you, Father, in Jesus' name, and then find himself being able to be a leader as a man, that women will recognize him as a leader and not lead him into a ditch, but that he will lead them to a place of safety and protection, God, because he knows who he is, Jesus. You call him, God. He's beautiful. He's a man of God. He's a true friend. He's a friend of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for building him up, God, and teaching him your ways and loving him, God, in Jesus' name, showing him what a man you've making him to be, in Jesus' name, instead of the man he tries to make himself to be, and come short of that great glory, God, so he will not come short of the glory of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Because he is blessed and favored, Father, and Jesus, you're going to bring him through this, and he's going to grow and learn from it, Father, and become a more powerful, more compassionate, more wise, in Jesus' name, because he's a wise man, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 12:24. It looks like that's all my callers for tonight so far. Somebody else has their hand up. So if nobody gets their hand up, I'm going to call it a night. If you send a prayer request in, and I prayed over it, I'll try to send you the time I pray over it. So you want prayer tonight, please get your hand up there, and we're going to pray for you. Okay. If you don't, if I'm going to miss you tonight, if you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to call you if I haven't called you, it's because you don't have your hand up, or that, or you fell asleep and you think I missed you. Usually I pray over you whether you say who you are or not. Okay, so you can go back. If you send me a text, I can send you the time that I prayed for you. Okay? So I try to do that. That way you can know kind of what's going on. All right. We don't want you to miss out on anything. God might to build you up, to encourage you. Amen. Amen. And give you the hope to keep believing. Amen. Been an amazing night tonight. Wow. All right, I guess I'm going to call it a night, y'all. I'm kind of starting to do a little yawning myself. So, right, all right, okay. Thank you, guys. We love you, and we will talk to you tomorrow night. God bless.
But